Thank you so much, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. It's Friday, the day we all dream about. You can call us or text us at 312-981-7200. Is it safe to say that you are discombobulated this morning? Is that safe to say?
Well, you know, yesterday when we were leaving, I noticed that Rokan, who follows us, along with Anna DeVlantes, had moved the monitor so he could use his computer monitor in front of him. And I thought, boy, that makes a lot of sense.
Because
I had it off to the right and I'd be off mic while I was doing stuff.
Yeah.
But I can't. I'm a creature of habit and I need to see you. I need to see Kevin.
It's on a swivel, so it'll go as high as you want or to the left or to the right. It'll go almost anywhere you want. But
I can't figure it out.
You didn't know that.
I did know that. I didn't know it came right out in front of me, which makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
That's distracting me and the fact that there's a police bust going on right in front of our window.
We can't figure out exactly what's going on, but somebody's been stopped. And they rarely stop people right there on Michigan Avenue because it's a high traffic area. So they don't want to.
Is Kevin okay?
Yeah, Kevin's all right.
Okay.
Kevin's here.
Thank you for your
concern,
though.
But it's the paddy wagon. That's what confuses me. It's not just a Chicago police car.
We don't say paddy wagon. We haven't since the mid-80s.
Why?
Well, the...
I don't know. I guess it's just a phrase that's almost outdated, but I know what you mean when you say paddy wagon.
I don't know what else to call it.
Well, it's upsetting to the Irish population.
Oh, seriously?
Paddy wagon.
Yes.
Oh, I guess the P-A-D-D-Y?
Very serious.
I thought they served patties in there.
No, they pick up the patties. Let's pick up the patties.
Listen, I'm still the one who calls a tank top a day goatee, and I'm not, I'm
that's
sorry.
That's not offensive
stepping
at
away.
All.
But stepping away.
No, you can step away all you want. I mean this sincerely, and we're half Italian, and my grandfather always called them that, and that's all I knew them as.
Which of the two terms for that particular garment is more upsetting? Wife beater
never heard
or
that.
Day goatee?
I
both
never
of them
heard
are
that.
Awful.
But wife beater was never said in our family because my grandfather never beat his wife.
That's good news in all this. I knew there'd be some good news in this because they would have thrown him in the paddy wagon if he did.
I did not know
was
paddy
your grandfather Irish?
On the other side. But no, he was
the other
Italian.
Side of the pond.
No, my paternal grandfather was Irish and German, but thank you, Steve. I didn't realize that's why it was called that. I had no
you
idea.
Didn't know that? Yeah.
You guys, I am a naive 708er. I am. I really did not know that.
I don't know if there was really a huge outcry to stop it, but they have moved away.
It just went away like overnight. Like that's what it was called. And then there was like some silent agreement from everybody everywhere.
Except me. I never
except
even
you.
Heard.
Well, you were probably,
what do you call
you were
it?
Probably sick that day. The police van.
The transport vehicle.
The transport vehicle that never has Irish people in it.
Right.
Sometimes you say that. They won't even let Irish people in there.
It totally has Irish people in it on St. Patrick's Day.
Nope. They
those are the pretend
it.
Irish, not the real Irish. Right.
You know what?
Right.
You're half and half right. There are some real Irish that have been in there, too. But I see what you're saying. I'm embarrassed.
So.
I did not know it was called that.
You're among friends, mostly.
Don't be embarrassed.
Yeah, everyone but you.
No, Steve.
Mostly.
Wendy and I have talked about this. There's a phrase that people... All right, I'll do one of these at a time. Because there's a couple of these things that are like paddy wagon... that I think a lot of people don't know the origins or why it's offensive. But somebody very close to me used to use the phrase chop chop every once in a while when they would want you to hurry up.
I used that yesterday.
But that's derogatory towards Asian people when they were building the railroads and they would use that phrase to them to mean, hurry up, we've got a job to do. No. And now all these years later, it's still kind of in existence for people who don't seem to either recognize that or know that.
Steve, I did not know that. I'd never heard that before.
How about peanut gallery? Did you know that one is offensive?
You know what?
No.
This is just ridiculous.
Oh, that's offensive to me right there.
Which part?
Calling me ridiculous.
I didn't say you precisely.
You never talk about me anymore. That offends me.
Wait, the chop chop, what again? I can't.
The story I've heard from several sources is that this was the words that were used, like when the Chinese were building the railroad, that they would use that phrase to them as if to say, we don't speak Chinese, but we're just going to say this to you as our way of saying, get on the job, get going.
Maybe it was chop the railroad ties to get them in line with the other one.
It's possible. It's possible.
I know that peanut gallery. Who's
peanut gallery is derogatory towards African Americans. Look up the origins.
What?
I'm telling you, I know it sounds incredible because they used it on Howdy Doody. They called the kids.
Wow, that show was so racist.
No, it wasn't.
Oh my God! You're
look. Do me a favor, and I'll do. I would do it myself, but I can't walk and type at the same time. Look up Peanut Gallery, the origin of the phrase Peanut Gallery, because this is one that I didn't know, because I used to hear it all the time associated with, you know, just a group of people together. They'd go, how are things in the Peanut Gallery? But look up the origin of Peanut
Gallery.
We're
going to the straight dope. We were just talking about this yesterday.
Yeah.
Because I refuse to look at Wikipedia. They're always wrong. I'm sorry.
They are many times incorrect.
All right. Dear straight dope. In a recent conversation with a friend of mine, we were joking around and a saying came up that almost everyone knows and uses. That saying being, no comment from the Peanut Gallery. I was wondering where exactly did that saying come from and what was the purpose of using it?
All right.
The no comment shtick is relatively recent, says Cecil Adams, the straight dope guy.
A former guest on the show and yes. Future guest on the show.
Yeah, we got to get him back. It's relatively recent, coming from stand-up comics' attempt to put down hecklers. The Peanut Gallery has been used for some time to imply the cheap seats.
Today, hold on, I'm going to look up the other one. Because I've
heard
another.
Well, you could make anything racist.
I guess.
And politically incorrect. Because you could say, you know, I said I object, and that's politically incorrect
it
these
is.
Days.
It is.
Today, balcony and mezzanine seats often go for more than the main floor seats at the rear of the auditorium because of their superior view. However, before microphones and opera glasses were common, balcony seats were the worst in the theater. The audience in the cheap seats, whew, I almost pulled a Dean Richards.
That's racist. Cheap sheets is racist. You know it is.
The audiences, here we go, Bill, in the cheap seats, typically lower class than the orchestra section, were the rowdiest in the theater, and in the late 19th century vaudeville, disapproving audience did more than just heckle the performance. In addition to the clearest view of the stage, patrons in the upper levels also had the clearest shot, and a bad performer would often find himself showered from the upper deck with the most common theater snack of all time, peanuts, sold by the concessionaires. Players soon learned to play to the peanut gallery at the top of the theater. The name was popularized by Buffalo Bob Smith,
mm-hmm.
who chose to call his howdy doody audience the peanut gallery,
mm-hmm.
presumably to emphasize the audience's cuteness rather than their propensity to throw stuff at them. When I go to comedy clubs nowadays, I prefer to sit in the guacamole gallery. Stand-up comics be warned.
Here's an article from Business Insider that's kind of similar, and I'll preface this. They're talking about in Business Insider, it's called 11 Racist and Offensive Phrases That People Still Use All the Time. One of them is paddy wagon. It says paddy originated, P-A-D-D-Y, paddy originated in the late 1700s as a shortened form of Patrick, and then later a pejorative term for any Irishman. Wagon just refers to the vehicle. So the paddy wagon either stemmed from a large number of Irish police officers or the perception that rowdy, drunken Irishmen constantly ended up in the back of police cars. So that's the one that precedes
Which
Peanut
I
Gallery.
Which I honestly never saw the connection.
A lot of people didn't. Here's what they say about Peanut Gallery. The Peanut Gallery, and it stems from almost what you said, but it goes a little further. The Peanut Gallery names a section in theaters, usually the cheapest and the worst, often where black people sat during the era of vaudeville.
Well, that's what it says, that, you know, they were the lower class audience members because they were cheaper.
Right, right.
But that doesn't say it's all black people that got the lower class seats.
But in the developing days of that phrase, when people used it, it was changed once it went to Buffalo Bob Smith and the Howdy Doody show, when it just meant a bunch of kids who came to see a marionette. But in the early days when they were saying it, that's what they were inferring. Whenever people would say the Peanut Gallery, that's kind of what they were inferring. It's been watered down, thankfully, to one of the many things we can thank Buffalo Bob Smith for. Over the
well,
years.
He didn't water it down.
No, he changed the perception of the phrase. Like, it was used derogatorily when it was first being used, but after he threw it on the audience of the Howdy Doody show, then it became more just, oh, it's a bunch of kids watching a puppet show.
He also opened the door for people who wanted to wear jumpers, right?
Yes, he did.
All right, but people in the crappy seats that couldn't see before opera glasses and microphones.
Right.
And they were throwing peanuts.
Right.
I think I love that derivation of that. And it was white people. It was people.
No, I get that. But believe me, when people first started saying it early on, prior to the Howdy Doody show, they meant it. It was a negative thing.
Really?
Because, yeah.
God, why am I so naive?
Well, but that's the purpose of this article, is they're saying there's a lot of these kind of things that we say.
You knew every one of these?
No, there's a couple I didn't know. Actually, there's one I want to share with you that I think is derogatory, and I've tried to sell this to people, and they don't necessarily buy it. I've talked to one or two people who trust me and believe me, but everybody else goes, I'm not sure. I'll tell you what that one is in a little bit. Can we take a quick break and we'll get to that? All right. We're at 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right. This started because there was some police activity in front of our studio here on Michigan Avenue. Wendy said, paddy wagon. Steve has walked off the show. He refuses to be heard on the air with you anymore.
I've got a portion of Irish in me. I didn't know that to mean. And now I'm thinking of the derivation, as you mentioned, from Business Insider, that it could have been named that because of a huge population of Irish police officers.
It could have.
Oh, get them in the paddy wagon.
Right. There's a chance of that.
I never knew that was derogatory towards Irish people. I apologize.
All right. Now, can I share with you the one that every time I hear it, I cringe because I think to myself, this has got to be steeped in some sort of, if not racism, something close to it. All right.
Yeah.
You know, when people, they'll encounter a friend or somebody they haven't seen in a while and they will say this phrase, "Hey, long time no see." Now, to me, that's a playoff of some immigrant. It could be of Asian descent. It could be Native Americans.
But the way it's said,
long time no see, that wouldn't stand for the way most of us talk. That harkens back to another era. So isn't that phrase, couldn't you look at that phrase and go, you're ripping on somebody. I'm not sure who, but you are.
Well, you can't worry about everything you say like you can't.
Well, I know you can't, but that particular one, every time I hear somebody say that, and I do from time to time, somebody will say that. They'll see each other in a restaurant or a shopping center.
I'm going to say it later this weekend now because it's in my head. I haven't thought about it in probably 30 years. Hey, long time no see.
But doesn't that sound like some stereotypical thing that you would say to somebody who's not quite as familiar with the English language?
I guess now that you bring it to the forefront.
It does, right? I'm not sure who, but I know it does.
Let me see if I can find
it. Are you looking that
something.
One up?
Yeah, I just looked it up kind of. The internet's telling me it might be. There's no like official confirmation, but it might be of
anything might
racial
be.
Racial background.
I guess you could say anything might be. I
same
know.
With no can do.
Well, that I would think.
Yeah. To people from Kenya. I think that slams the Kenyans, I think.
I wouldn't have guessed that, but I don't know.
It doesn't. I'm kidding.
I mean, no can do. I don't say that.
Kathmandu. Maybe the people of Kathmandu are offended by that. I'm not sure who.
I think I'm going to no can do because I never get anything done. I got to look that
up. You would be elected the queen of that country. You'd be on their flag.
I got to get an organizational coach.
Stamps.
Right.
No
Horns.
Can do right. is, I can't buckles. Do that. It's in the Urban Dictionary, so that must mean it's okay.
It might not mean it's a, well, what does it say in there?
It just stands for I can't do that. It doesn't have the derivation here.
But when does something become, you know, common speech and translate into offensive? I mean,
it's got to vary from phrase to phrase or word to word.
We say Gesundheit when someone sneezes.
Right.
That's not a slam at Germans.
Right.
I don't. I say bless you.
Well, that's a slam at
Germans. If a German person sneezes, I say Gesundheit. If a non-German person sneezes, I say bless you.
You guys, this is what is wrong with this world.
What?
First of all, you two. Second of all,
there she goes.
You will die when you hear this looking up in the Urban Dictionary, no can do, and it talks about like derivatives and stuff, and somebody just put something. No can do means I just can't do it. Comes from the 1982 song "I Can't Go for That." No can do by Daryl.
No, right,
that phrase pre-existed.
That's
it.
What I'm saying. Now I can't trust Wikipedia or Urban Dictionary.
That just shows the Urban Dictionary is written by 22-year-olds.
See what I mean? This is crazy. Yes, Daryl Hall and John Oates
were the originators.
The founding forefathers.
Etymology, whatever it is.
Oh, my God.
Wendy, I'm on a site that credits most of our language to Hall and Oates. They say most of the words we use today originated with various Hall and Oates songs from the 80s. I didn't know that.
I'm a man eater.
Well, that's what it says here. Prior to that, they didn't.
Oh, that's derogatory, too, to, you know, certain types of women.
To cannibals. You just offended cannibals. You did.
Stop it.
Gesundheit, German cannibals, if you sneeze.
I can't work these new buttons here. All right, Rick, what do you have for us? This is nuts.
Here's one I figured out on my own. You know the Geico expression, so simple, like even a caveman can do it?
Yeah.
They use caveman because it's the only race of people that are extinct that can't stew. Can you imagine if you put on so simple, an Irishman could figure it out, or an Indian, or anybody that is alive would be greatly offended and Geico would be sued. So they use caveman because nobody can come after him.
I like the way you think, Rick.
Brilliant.
Thought I'd throw it out there.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Rick. There's something to that.
I mean, growing up, right, you could not avoid Polish jokes.
Yeah.
Everywhere, and they've completely gone away pretty much.
Steve, I remember at Lincoln Mall when I was a kid, there was a whole, not a whole section, but there was like a shelf at Crock and Brentano's that were books of Polish jokes, and that was fine. They were just there. That would never happen now.
No.
It's impossible. And then I also remember there was a movement. I can't remember, did they change them to simpleton or something? Like, they would take all the Polish jokes and they didn't want to offend anybody, so they would say, how many simpletons does it take to change a light bulb?
and then in the back it says, we've converted these not to offend the Poles.
Right. Just so you know. Just so everyone's aware. Right.
I'm scared to take phone calls here, because I don't know.
Don't be afraid.
I don't, you know, fine. Is this Floyd?
Yes.
Hey, Floyd, what do you have for us?
I was corrected by using AD and BC that I was favoring Christians and was told that you have to use A, let's see, before the common era. Like,
BCE
and stuff like that.
So in the old days, whenever we would say something happened prior to the birth of Christ and we would use BC, now it must be BCE?
Yes, before the common era and AC. After the common era.
Yeah, so it's CE is common era, and it would be your AD. Your AD would be CE, and your BC would be BCE.
See, what if you have ADHD? How does that?
Then you just ask somebody else to explain it to you.
Both on thin ice right there.
Now, AD, everybody thinks stands for after death, because BC is before Christ.
It's ominous.
It's
Damo
Anno Domini, which, you made fun of my son for taking Latin. He explained
knows
that to
this.
Me. But here's my...
The year of our Lord.
Right, so it's the number of years since the birth of Jesus Christ, so that would mean Christmas? Or would that mean Easter when he rose again? This is where I'm confused.
I think they're going birth.
Yeah, so birth. Yeah. Even though we have figured out that we chose the wrong day, because Christ was born 6 years after he was supposed to have been born.
Yeah, and they wanted it to correspond with some sort of winter festival.
Before Pitocin.
Is that true?
He wasn't born
so that's BP?
In year zero.
How about that? How about that?
All right. Well, thank you very much for clarifying.
Thanks, Floyd.
That. But the ACE, I had not heard of that. Yeah. Or BCE.
Before common era.
And what's ACE? After
common. It's just common era. So CE.
Does AC/DC have to change their name, Steve?
Yes, but for other reasons.
No, but another death in the world of rock and roll. I can't stand this.
I know. All right. Let's take
get used to it.
It's happening a lot.
This is really. It's the train is a rolling and it's going down the track and I don't like where it's headed.
It keeps happening. All right. We'll discuss that with you in a little bit. Also last night's debate. So stick around. It's Bill and Wendy WGN. Thanks, Steve. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder, joined in studio by the Tribune's Kristen McQuarrie to talk about three events that took place last night. The big table debate, the little table debate, and then Donald Trump's tea party that he had. Or I shouldn't even say tea party because he's not a member of the tea party. Wouldn't it make more sense to run these things on the Sci-Fi Channel as opposed to the other networks? I don't know why.
You know, last night was the least sci-fi because Trump wasn't there. So they actually, you know, got into a pretty detailed discussion about immigration reform and some other policy issues because he was gone. He was missing.
They referred to him right off the bat as the elephant that's not in the room, which is a beautiful irony because the symbol of the Republican Party, of course, is the elephant. So it made all kinds of sense. He wins in not being there, kind of, doesn't he?
I mean, he does because All right. First of all, I don't know if you've taken a position on whether or not Fox News was kind of out of line in that press release that they put out.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Don't you you think they were?
Yes, because it could be a person. Even Megyn Kelly, it could be okay. But when a network does that, that seems completely wrong.
See, I agree with you. I mean, working at the Tribune, we would never put out a statement that was snarky and attacked a candidate. I mean, we would maybe put out a statement to defend someone like they should have with Megyn Kelly, but it was ridiculous. So I think a lot of people are siding with him that he decided to sit it out. I actually think the person who was the biggest child on the stage last night was the guy who said this. Here's your quiz.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Boy, the last four questions have been, please attack me.
This is Ted Cruz, by the way.
I'm not doing a very good imitation.
No, it's dead on, Ted
This
Cruz.
Is a debate that's supposed to be on policy. Gosh, if you ask one more mean question, I might have to leave the stage.
Yeah.
What a baby. I thought he did not come across well
was
at all last
Was he trying
night.
To play the part of Trump? Is that what he was doing?
I think, well, okay, in fairness to him, the first hour of the debate, I didn't really like the questions either. They were trying to get the candidates to kind of spar with each mm-hmm. other. At one point, they asked Rand Paul a question about his dad. I mean, it took the second hour for them to get into some policy issues. So there were points where they were clearly trying to, you know, set up little fights among the candidates. But I thought he came across badly there. I think when they did talk about immigration policy, he just comes across as so unreasonable and someone who in this environment would never be able to beat Hillary Clinton based on his record. I don't know if you heard them talk about this, but he at one point introduced an amendment to an immigration bill that said anyone who is here illegally will be permanently ineligible for citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think that's a very compassionate or rational way to deal with the immigration problem. And I think a majority of Americans agree.
But they're playing to the hilt. They're playing this immigration thing. I mean, depending on who you talk to, Kristen, the issues have a ranking order. But for some reason, most of the Republicans have really taken this on as a huge, huge cause that we need to fix immediately. Is it that big of a deal? Is it the worst thing going on in the country right now?
I think it's a travesty that it's been this long that we have not addressed this problem. And so I thought Marco Rubio was very strong when he kept bringing that up. This is 30 years.
Yeah.
30 years we have been talking about it. I mean, think of all the time and resources and just wasted conversation that we keep having about it. Marco Rubio, I think, should embrace. They keep talking about that Gang of Eight proposal.
Yeah.
That was a compromise. It was the closest we got to immigration reform. It was not amnesty. In order to become, you know, a path to citizenship would take 13 years. You had to pay all of your back taxes. You had to learn English. You had to not be a criminal. And border security was going to come first. We mm-hmm. were going to deal. So, I mean, to me, that was a very reasonable compromise struck by conservatives and liberals. And Marco Rubio was on the committee that came up with that plan, and immediately John Boehner shot it down. So I do think it's a conversation we need to have. There are some estimates from nonpartisan sources that say if we fix the immigration problem, it would bring in billions and billions in revenue because we would finally have these people out of the shadows mm-hmm. and paying taxes.
There's something to that then. There's definitely something to that. We were all talking about Kasich for a little bit. If I was voting Republican and I knew it for sure, that would be the guy I would vote for, but for some reason, he can't seem to get much traction.
He's just been trumped. I mean, he really has.
He
is the moderate, middle of the road. He has a pretty good track record. He actually came into the Tribune editorial board, and so we had a chance to talk to him and meet with him. He does have a pretty solid conservative record.
Yeah.
But against this group at this time, with the outrage, he's just, you know, kind of falling through the hourglass.
So the fact that he's not as fiery and seemingly angry as the others, that's hurting him, isn't it?
It is. And I mean, there are some policy issues. He accepted Obamacare in his state. That's, you know, like a huge red flag with really ultra conservative Republican voters.
It stinks that the people, I mean, I know that's the whole point of a race.
Right.
But if you are with the wrong people, your chances are just blown.
I know. Well, it's so ironic, too, because all of them are running to the right and saying all this fiery rhetoric to appeal to GOP primary voters. And then whoever emerges, they're going to come right back to the middle where John Kasich is, where on some issues Jeb Bush is, where Chris Christie is on some issues, because you can't compete with a Democrat unless you are more centrist.
Let's go to Chris Christie for just a little bit. There was a time where he got chummy with the president when he needed him to be a friend, and he quickly forgot about all that. And he's really spending a lot of time talking about what an awful country this is under Barack Obama. Is it just the mere fact that he's running for president and wants to do that? I mean, did something happen that I'm not aware of that all of a sudden he forgot that Barack Obama kind of helped him out there for a little
bit? And isn't that like a show of his character, too?
It is in a way. One thing that I will say about when he attacks Obama and Hillary Clinton, it's usually when he is asked to attack his fellow Republicans.
Yeah.
And I think he doesn't want to play dirty. And I like that. You know, he pivots, and he pivoted last night. They asked him a question about who on the stage is not qualified to be president. He didn't even go there. He said the person who's not qualified is Obama. But in terms of their relationship, yes, the pictures of the two of them hugging and, you know, that's just, it's a poison pill, unfortunately, because it's ridiculous. I mean, Republicans have taken their hatred of Obama so far that, you know, John Boehner, when he was House Speaker, couldn't even go golfing with the president because that was just too offensive. You know, you're not.
Yeah.
It's a little bit Looney Tunes.
But remind me, because I'm trying to remember the time frame on this. Wasn't this at a time when Mitt Romney really needed Chris Christie's support, and all of a sudden he kind of shifted, not total allegiance, but he became very friendly with Barack Obama for a little while when he needed his help? That was right around the time of the last election, wasn't it?
It was. And I think Mitt Romney was just a different type of candidate, different type of Republican. And I think that's also why people are attracted to Trump, because he was so kind of milquetoast.
Yeah.
And we were wondering about the ratings. At least I was. Donald Trump and his counter-programming effort last night against the GOP primary debate on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
We will tell you when we come back what the outcome of that is.
Ooh,
yes. Excellent.
Nice.
It's more of us, Bill and Wendy, along with Kristen McQuarrie of the Tribune. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200 gets that done. It's WGN. Yesterday was a big day in politics. You had two regular Republican debates, what they call the kids' table debate, and then your standard debate. And then Donald Trump decided he would take the ball and play elsewhere.
But did you know elsewhere? Because you guys had mentioned you weren't sure where Donald Trump was trumping.
I didn't. I mean, I know he was speaking to a veterans group. I know he raised $6 million, but I was not flipping back and forth. So
I didn't know the network either.
All right. Here's what happened. Fox News Channel's Trumpless debate last night, 8.4 household rating, according to early Nielsen data. This means 8.4% of American metered market households were watching the face-off.
Okay.
By comparison, two of the cable channels that showed parts of Trump's event, CNN and MSNBC.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we should have figured that, because where else would you find it? Had about a quarter of Fox's audience combined. Trump rivals clearly came out ahead in the raw ratings. The most recent GOP debate 2 weeks ago, 7.4. So this was higher at 8.4, and Trump was half of that.
Wow. So without Trump, it did better?
Yep.
Well, that's interesting.
I'm trying to figure out why that would be.
Because they get to talk.
Is that what it is?
The freak show's over.
And I think there's a lot of interest in like Megyn Kelly and the whole Fox News network and her fight with Donald Trump. There was more publicity about this one probably than the last one.
What do we take away about his personality? And again, I don't even need to say this. It seems like he keeps doing things wrong, but every time he does something that you'd perceive as wrong, it benefits him. But what does this say about his personality, where if the rules don't go according to the exact way he wants them, he won't play? What do we know about him because of that?
Well, I mean, it's one of his biggest flaws that I think non-Trump supporters such as myself are really... It bothers me. It perplexes me. How can we have a world leader who is so sensitive and, you know, takes his toys and goes home or goes on the attack? I mean, one of the first questions at last night's debate was, you know, Trump's not here. What do you make of that? And Cruz's answer was, I'm a maniac. Everyone on this stage is stupid, fat, and ugly. And Ben, you're a terrible surgeon. I mean, those are all things that Trump has said.
Right.
So I don't think it reflects well on him.
No.
This is the guy who is potentially going to be running our country, dealing with foreign affairs, with foreign dignitaries. Doesn't that scare anybody? And I guess you have no answer to this, and we'll have to wait and see. The people who like him for changing the face of politicians, or lack thereof, are they really going to vote for him? Are they just liking him now? Are they liking what's happening? And are they really going to vote for him?
I mean, that's the big question. It looks, I 6 months ago, I would have said no, that they would gravitate towards somebody else who had similar policy positions, but wasn't so, off the cuff of a speaker.
Wasn't such a whirling dervish.
I love it. But no, you can't say that anymore. I mean, the gap between he and his closest competitor in the polls has stayed steady, and I think this is an important point, he still draws these big crowds. And yes, some people are still going for entertainment value, but he is motivating people to go out of their homes on a Tuesday night and go hear him speak somewhere. And none of the other candidates have been able to do that.
Kristen, what about this? Of all the news networks out there, Fox News is the one that caters primarily to the right-wing Republican audience. By splitting that up, by making Donald Trump angry at the network and Roger Ailes, who runs the network, what does that do? Where does that leave Republicans if the news network that they enjoy and the candidate they enjoy are fighting with each other?
I mean, I think it's pretty much just entertainment value. Initially, the attacks on Megyn Kelly from Trump, there was, you know, kind of a Megyn Kelly Twitter support group that cropped up. She is really popular among viewers, and yeah. I would say bipartisan, because she tends to be pretty tough on everybody.
Yeah.
But I think at the end of the day, Trump keeps talking about fighting the establishment. Mainstream media is included in that category. And so he gets more kudos for refusing to debate and, you know, just making his own way.
I didn't see any of the kids. I hate to use the phrase kids table debate, but it kind of sums it up. It's the more important people get to sit at the more important table, and then the people that are the sadly also rans get to sit at the other table. I did see the clips of Carly Fiorina, and it was almost stand-up like in her delivery, as she just had a barrage of complaints about Hillary Clinton, one after the other after the other. It was actually really well written, but does this translate to get her back up into the higher echelon?
You know, I don't know. Let's see how she does on Monday. Monday yeah. is caucus day in Iowa. She did great last night. She's a really strong debater, and it's too bad that her poll numbers have not been high enough to keep her, you know, at the big kids table.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when they were all up there, it was too much. So I actually have liked that they've split it up, because then they all get more time.
Would anyone consider, I guess this doesn't make sense because everything is preconceived, even their position and where they stand. They put the more popular candidates toward the middle, and then it filters off towards the sides. But couldn't they just do a random thing where, say there's 14 candidates, 7 of them get the early debate, 7 of them get the late, and it's not decided by where they are popular in the polls at that particular day?
Well, you should run this.
Would that make sense?
Clearly, Bill. Yes. Yes. I mean, they do it by polling. There are a lot of questions as to how accurate some of these polls are. I think we've seen even in our own state government for the governor's race and other high profile races that were so close, actually they weren't,
yeah.
or vice versa. So we'll see if the polls have really been accurate and fairly placing all of them on the stage.
All right. There's only a couple of days left until Monday. Who needs to do what to make themselves known so they're viable options as opposed to the two front runners?
I think Donald Trump just has to not say anything too outrageous. This is the point in the campaign where I think his handlers, his managers are saying, okay, just hang
tight.
Lay low. Don't say anything racist.
Right.
You know, keep it together. I think Ted Cruz, personally, I didn't think he did well last night. I think he comes across as just kind of whiny and too strident. He has to try to keep peeling away those Trump supporters by talking about faith and issues where he is stronger than Trump.
Faith came up a lot last night, by the way.
It did.
Like, way have more faith.
That was Wendy sang the
like
song.
That. Just like that.
But there's another little thing we should keep in mind.
We're doomed.
He's in, isn't he?
You know, if it happens, I will be down here with your favorite margarita to help you cope.
Oh, thank you.
Because it's kind of looking that way. Get used to President Trump. Just say it over and over again.
So. I've not looked, but there used to be, and I know this is a weird way of looking at things as important as presidential elections, but Las Vegas used to have a pretty good beat on this sort of thing. They would put odds on who was going to win and not. I haven't looked yet, but I wonder where they put Donald Trump as of today.
Oh, that's a great question. Let's find out.
I got to find out.
Yeah.
All right. Kristen, thank you very much. This is a story that really just keeps getting stranger and stranger and stranger, doesn't it?
It does.
It never stops. We appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having
Kristen
me.
Kristen McQuarrie of The Tribune. We're going to take a break, and then Steve has the news coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I'm sorry I fell on your button, by the way.
What happened there?
Yeah. I fell on his button.
Usually you turn me on, and during the news you turned me off.
I usually turn you off.
Is anyone else getting any double entendre in this, or just me? Is it just me?
It's Friday, man. Come on. We're starting the weekend.
Some of it is single entendre. All right, it's us.
Single entendre.
It's Phil and Wendy. And you know who decided to join us is Kurt Wagner from TVShowPatrol.com to talk about the world of television. Hi, Kurt. How are you?
You both turned me on.
Thank you, Kurt. That's so nice of you to say.
That's how we know it's Friday, when he comes strolling in with a new hat.
Yep, yep. Would you like to tell the kids what today's hat is and its country of origin?
It is from Italy.
Mm-hmm.
I'd put it back on because you have total hat head, by the way.
You look like Bernie Sanders' son right now. hair's everywhere.
And I don't know what kind of hat it is. What is this called? A derby? I don't know. What is that?
It's almost it's not a derby.
A newsboy hat.
Yeah, it looks like Timmy the Long Chevrolet newsboy would wear that
hat. Sorry to be bossy. I don't know why I'm apologizing for the first time, but pick a microphone because you're kind of right in between.
Oh, sorry.
There you go. Better. Perfect.
That's better.
And I'm an amateur over here, you know.
Well, to radio.
So are we.
Please. All right, let's talk about television. Number one, another production of a musical, a live musical, is going to take place on Sunday, and this is Grease. It's going to be called Grease Live, and it's on Fox. What do we need to know about Grease Live?
It's live. They're going to shoot it in front of an audience, but outside and inside. So if it rains in California while they're shooting it, it will be raining on your TV screen.
Oh,
well,
right.
In your TV screen, I guess.
Will that add to the excitement of Grease to watch it done in the rain?
Someone could slip while they're dancing.
Yeah. The prom will get wet.
Oh, I guess.
Or whatever.
Just like
you know.
Carrie.
All right.
But yeah, it's Fox is going all in with live musicals. You know, NBC's done the three for holidays.
Well, they
you know?
Did The Sound of Music.
Peter Pan.
Peter Pan. And The Wiz this past holiday.
And the ratings are pretty good on these, aren't they? People seem to like these.
And Fox is doing, now they're doing Grease Live this Sunday, and then later this year, March 20th, they're doing The Passion live.
Oh,
really?
They're going to retell The Passion story with modern music, contemporary music. And
that
they just
could be
announced
good.
Chris Daughtry will play Judas.
Oh, I like it.
And then somebody's playing Jesus, who I've never heard of, Giancarlo Canella.
Okay.
I have two musicals I would like to request. Really, the only two musicals I would
love.
Which
two would you like to see?
One would be West Side Story.
That would be good. They could do that.
And the other one would be Jesus Christ Superstar.
That would also be good.
You never know. You might get your wish.
I would watch those.
Those would be
terrific. They're also doing Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, I'll watch
that. Oh, that would be good.
Live. And they're going to have Tim Curry, who was the original Frankenfurter. He's going to be the narrator in their live version.
So what happened that made them all of a sudden, because for years and years and years, nobody would do something like this on TV, and now you have such an influx. It's all ratings-based, right? They saw the first one work, Sound of Music worked, so now they're going to do a bunch.
Well, and Fox, I think Fox believes, at TCA, their president or whatever, CEO, whatever he's called, talked about how music's in Fox's DNA. Like, you know, they had Glee for years.
Yeah.
That wasn't live, but it was music. And then they have Empire now. And the guy who created Empire is working on a thing about a girl group, like a girl band starting. Right. So
new girl group or like 60s Motown girl groups?
I'm not sure what but it's going to be like a drama like Empire is, but focusing on this girl group.
Do you think, Kurt, years ago, and this is used as whenever they talk about the biggest bombs in TV history, there's a show that comes up and it's called Cop Rock, which was a cop show set to music.
Right.
Do you think that show could work today?
Probably. It'd
probably
have
would,
a better
right?
chance. But, you know, then NBC had Smash. Maybe that was a little before it should have been, you know, or maybe it just sort of went off the rails in the second season.
Yeah. The casting in Grease. Now, I'm familiar with Juliana Hough. She was on Dancing with the Stars.
She's adorable.
I don't know Aaron Tveit.
Tveit.
I don't know who that is.
He's a Broadway guy, but he was in... the most recent Les Miserables.
Oh, he was.
He was one of the supporting characters. He was on some USA Today or USA Network show where he didn't sing. He was just it was a cop show. I can't remember.
Let me pitch an idea to you since you said Les Miserables, a musical version of the Dick Van Dyke show called Les Miserables Petri. Do you think that would work on today's television?
I have no idea.
Wow, that is a stretch.
I have no idea.
Wow.
But, you know.
It is Friday.
He's still around. He's still around. Kiki Palmer, Carly Rae Jepsen, and who else is in this?
Carly Rae Jepsen's
and Vanessa Hudgens are also in
this. She used to be on Disney shows all the time.
Yeah. She's playing
Rizzo, probably?
Rizzo, yes.
Yeah, that would make sense. Because Dr. Channing is great, but probably too busy.
You've never seen Grease?
Really?
Wendy, you've never seen Sound of Music or Grease. You've never seen Grease?
I've seen bits and pieces of Grease.
Wait, you've never seen Sound of Music? That's been on every Christmas for 1,000 years.
And Julie Andrews is Wendy's stepmom, and she still hasn't seen it.
The mean stepmom.
You'd think that maybe she'd go and see it, but she won't.
My sister just said that to me. She goes, Wendy, it's about time you watch Sound of Music. I said, I've gone this long. Really, what's the difference?
That's what we were talking about yesterday, what it will say in your obituary. It'll say, Wendy Snyder dies, never saw Sound of Music.
She never saw Sound of Music. The hills are not alive.
And Julie Andrews will come to my grave and spit on it.
Right. That's what you've got coming. That's your future right there. That's your future.
Looking forward to it.
So, all right. So now we've got two networks that are heavily into the musicals. Will the other networks say, we can do musicals too? Where will this stop, Kurt?
I don't know, but they're going to run out of musicals because they have to make them all very family friendly. Like,
right.
They changed a lot of the lines in the Grease songs because...
There are a couple of songs that are a little iffy.
Yeah.
All right. So they cleaned them up.
Yeah.
In Grease Lightning, right? Yeah, isn't there a couple lines in Grease Lightning that are
dangerous? It's, 1950s leather dudes and gals, they're...
So you don't think they'll do Oh Calcutta on network television anytime soon?
No.
No. That's too bad.
No. not on network television.
It's too bad now that we've lost Dave Vigoda because he would have been great in Oh Calcutta on television.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. There's no big award shows.
Never a dull moment, huh?
No. Before we get off the music thing, I just thought of this because I watched it last night. Have you guys seen Lip Sync Battle on Spike TV?
What's Lip Sync Battle?
Oh, you got to watch this. It's
with
my
celebrities?
It's my new favorite thing. Yeah, it's called Lip Sync Battle. I think the new episodes air on Thursday nights on Spike TV, and it's hilarious. They get celebrities to come in and lip sync with a dance number, and they basically battle. They do two numbers.
Do the celebrities know in advance what song they'll have to lip sync to, or is it all kind
no,
of
no, they know because they do a whole production thing.
Oh, they do? They rehearse
it? Yeah, the most famous recent one was Channing Tatum did a song by Beyonce, and it's on YouTube, and it's got like millions and millions of views.
How was
But Beyonce came out and surprised him at the end. And sort of danced the last little part of it with him.
That is kick ass.
Yeah, and his battle was against his own wife, Jenna Dwayne Tatum.
Oh, yeah.
And she did a song. I don't know what the song was, but the big takeaway from that was she did a strip tease on top of him.
Oh, God.
Wow. Is this on pay-per-view, Kurt, or can regular people see this?
It's on Spike. It's
it
cool.
Is?
Well, she didn't strip all the way.
Yeah.
Course, but, anyway, it's awesome. Didn't
Jimmy Fallon do the lip sync?
He did it last night. He was on last night.
But I mean, didn't he do it on his show?
He did. There was a segment on his show where they would do that.
Yeah, he does a thing. And then James Corden does that karaoke.
In the car.
Oh, I love that with Adele.
But they're actually singing there.
Yeah.
This one, they're just lip syncing.
You know what I've noticed on the late night shows, on the 10:30 shows, like Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon, Stephen Colbert doesn't do it as much, but he gets in the... There's a lot more, instead of just the straightforward interview that was a staple forever... There's a lot of games and prizes and confetti and stuff. Whoever the star is, they have to play a game.
Yeah, it's sort of become like the modern variety show almost,
Is
I
that
enjoy
good?
It.
You like it that way? Yeah.
Depends who the guest is. You know, if there's someone, I would like to see a guest doing something you wouldn't expect him to do.
Right.
Well, and that's what I think is fun about Lip Sync Battle, too, is because sometimes they have people on there who are just actors, are serious, in serious roles, and then they get to cut loose and do this crazy thing. And
damn, Abe Vigoda could have been on that too. That he would have killed.
He would have been so good on that. Kurt Wagner's here from TVshowpatrol.com, a great website if you enjoy TV. We'll take a quick break and talk more next. If you want to jump in, if you have any comments or questions, 312-981-7200. You can text us or call us. More in a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kurt Wagner's here from TVshowpatrol.com. Kurt, a week ago you told us about a show that Wendy and I have very excited prior knowledge about, and that's X-Files. It came back, and it came back strong. It looked really good.
Oh, my God.
You guys liked it?
Loved
it. It was really good.
The effects that they've taken, it was always such a great show. It is kept with the theme of the original X-Files, don't you think?
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
Fantastico.
Now, do we know how it's doing in the ratings? I know it was just the two-part opener, so you don't know yet, but I would hope that Fox would see that there's an audience for this and continue it.
I don't know. I didn't check the ratings. I mean, we could look now.
Maybe. No, you're fine.
How old were you when you started watching it? Because I can't remember when it was on. We were older, right?
Yeah. We were older than we are now.
But I mean, we were... How many years ago, I guess,
like
is what I'm
X-Files
trying to...
Right. Right. We Benjamin Buttoned it.
Were we in our 20s when it came out?
I think a little older than that.
Because this new episode of X-Files, the premiere... has really sucked in the younger viewers.
Yeah.
I realize now my 13 and 16-year-old loved it, and now they are binge-watching. Netflix has all 9 episodes of the original, mm-hmm. and I have a box of every single one of the X-Files comics in my basement, which I'm going to be
wow.
looking for this weekend.
Wow.
That is my Star Wars.
It is your Star Wars. That's cool.
Do you remember there was a show on NBC that preceded X-Files by, I think, 2 years that was similar to it, but it was awful? And it was called Project UFO. And it was done very much in the style of Dragnet, two kind of deadpan guys.
I watched that.
Did you ever see Project UFO? It was terrible.
Yeah, there were a couple like that. There was another one.
The Alien Autopsy, of course, I watched that too on Fox.
Everyone watched that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the one you remember, Curtis?
I can't. I'm not going to remember what it was called, but it was I don't know.
But in the same vein.
It had the same idea, and they were bloggers who, this might have been like,
that would have to be after if they were bloggers.
Might have been a little bit after, yeah. They were bloggers who, they had this blog site that just looked at weird things like, you know, Sasquatch or whatever.
Well, there was
and so they would go out and find...
Remember they did a spinoff called The Lone Gunman about the three guys that would yeah. help Scully and Mulder yeah. all the time? It didn't last too long. No. That kind of came and went pretty quickly. I know I shouldn't be excited about this, but I am because I'm 11 years old. Netflix is bringing one of our favorite toys from our past
I
to light.
I would like this.
And you worded it beautifully. They're expanding their kid shows by offering us what?
Stretch Armstrong.
Stretch Armstrong,
what
Wendy.
What was the song? Did he have a theme song?
I don't remember. Did he have a theme song? Was there a Stretch Armstrong theme song?
I don't remember.
I can't remember. So who will play Stretch Armstrong? Because this is a coveted role in Hollywood.
It's only in... Early.
They're in development right yeah. now.
But there was never a TV show, was there?
No, it was just
the doll.
Toy, the big rubber doll that you could just pull its arms and yeah. legs.
And did you put one of his arms on a doorknob and pull him? Because
yeah.
I think everybody did that.
You're supposed
that.
To.
Yeah.
That would be the first episode. They could do an episode like that.
Yeah. They're
and you'll be watching.
I'd watch that.
They're going to do it with Hasbro. With Hasbro.
Are
the
they
toy
really?
Maker, yeah. So.
Excellent. I'm in. I want to see more Stretch Armstrong.
I do think
it's a cartoon, right?
Well, I thought it was a live action, but this story says it's animated action comedy series.
I want it to be live action.
Yeah, that would be better.
Yeah,
Arnold should do the voice. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That would be great.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, that would be
Stretch
great.
Armstrong. It is not a tumor.
Although, did you see what job he got?
No.
Did you see what job Arnold Schwarzenegger's got?
The Office.
No.
What's it called? Not The Office.
The Apprentice.
The Apprentice. Yeah.
He's
really?
Going to be the new. He's going to be
the new
guy
Donald.
In The Apprentice.
So then, is he going to run for president in a few years?
I think because he's Austrian born, he can't.
Oh yeah.
Because Donald Trump would be the one who'd call him out on that.
Right, but he'd make an exception.
Right.
For
right.
him.
He would. He definitely would. Comic book shows are very, very popular. They keep making more and more, and there's another one coming down the pike. What's the new one?
Yeah, they've done a pilot for another spinoff of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. called Marvel's Most Wanted.
Who's involved? Which heroes are involved in this?
It's Adrian Palicki's character from Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and her ex-husband, who is played by this guy named Nick Blood, which I think that could be a
Nick
superhero.
Nick Blood sounds like a superhero name.
Superheroes get divorced?
Yeah, sometimes if their marriages
That's
aren't happening.
Sad.
Yeah.
And they're not really superheroes. They're just heroes.
They're okay heroes?
They're agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. who are humans, but they just are really good fighters.
Now, when they first announced that, Kurt, I thought people don't want to see regular people fighting crime. They want to see superheroes, but these shows are extremely popular. People
yeah, I mean,
love them.
You know, you might as well be another procedural, right? Another,
yeah.
You know, cops, they just happen to be really good at kicking.
Yeah, that's true,
butt.
Isn't it? It's very true. And then one of the stars of the movie Straight Outta Compton is getting his own show. What do you know about this?
Corey Hawkins, you may know him as Heath on The Walking Dead. He played Heath.
Oh, right.
Wait, I watched that show. Who's Heath?
He was a character in the town that they've been in.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of where you would know him from. He's kind of dreadlocked.
Yeah, he had the dreadlocks, and he always wore
an
open shirt. Yeah.
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 All right.
He's Corey Hawkins is going to play the lead character, which is this guy named Eric Carter in 24 Legacy. And he's a former, what was that, CPU, CTU? counterterrorism agent. Oh,
right,
CTU.
Right.
He's a former CTU agent who had been off in Europe, and he comes back home and is followed by.
But there's no. This
henchmen.
Is a 24 show, but Jack Bauer is nowhere
no
to be seen.
It, no.
Does this take place after Jack Bauer, or is it a prequel? Or
no, it's after. But because I think they're gonna mention. They're going to have mentions of Jack Bauer.
But
I almost said Eddie Bauer.
Eddie Bauer should also be in this one.
They're
so
gonna
they
have,
fight crime and they wear comfortable
but they look good
clothing.
Doing it, yeah.
Oh, that's excellent. Yeah. Good. Well, that kind of waters it down a little bit because I think part of the reason 24 was such a huge hit is people loved Kiefer Sutherland.
Well, Kiefer doesn't.
Kiefer?
Kiefer has moved
him.
On to something else.
That's
he has some
upsetting.
Pilot work in, too. I can't remember.
He's
going to
do something?
Is he going to talk like this?
He Probably. Always talks like that.
Or he's going to shout.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes he'd get angry. The co-star in this is Miranda Otto, who I don't know if a lot of people in America know who she is. She's a British actress. She was in
She's
some of Lord of the Rings. Oh, is she Australian?
I think so, yeah.
She was in Lord of the Rings. She had a part in that.
She was most recently on this last season of Homeland.
Oh, right.
So she's used to being
a
spy.
She's very, very good. Yeah. That's Kurt Wagner. You want to visit his website, don't you? TVshowpatrol.com. It's got all your the information you have on your favorite TV shows. Thanks, Kurt. We appreciate it.
I actually have a surprise for you before he goes.
What is it?
I want to see if you remember this. Audio's not that great.
Okay. Exercise for John Strong.
It is.
Yeah.
How can you stretch them?
Can you stretch them?
Wow, look at that. You together.
Pull.
Sure, Coach.
Pull.
Now wrap them up.
This was one of the commercials for Stretch Armstrong.
They're tying him up in a pretzel.
Just stretch him.
Which, by the way, he didn't mind.
No,
he was fine with that.
He slowly got back to normal.
I think I tore mine in half.
Did you tear Stretch Armstrong in half?
I think
it was superhuman strength.
I stretched it so much that
it wouldn't break. That was the whole point of it.
It wouldn't break, but I had two different friends that left theirs outside because, you know, families were very strict back then. Stretch Armstrong is not allowed in this house. So if you left them outside in the cold, he would freeze, and that wasn't good for Stretch Armstrong.
Just crack
you could
him?
Yeah, you could break
him.
What was inside of him?
But I think I pulled an arm off, like after, you know, when I turned 20 and after 20 years
off?
Of, after 15 years of playing with it.
It was like a silicone, like the stuff that's in Pam Anderson. It was the same kind of stuff. That should be.
Does that stretch?
Keep her out of the cold.
Yeah, you don't want to put her in the cold at all. Thank you, Kurt, for sticking around.
Thank
you get an extra 3 minutes of pay, by the way, so congrats. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I am professing my love for the X-Files off the air to Bill. I got to tell you, I'm married to a Star Wars fan who
mm-hmm.
I sometimes make fun of more than I should.
Mm-hmm.
I drank the Kool-Aid when the X-Files came out the first time. I went to the X-Files convention.
I remember they had it in town, and we had one of the stars from the show on, Dean Hagland, who was one of the lone gunmen. And yeah, I remember you going to that convention. You enjoyed yourself.
That was the first convention I ever had. And then, again, my husband, a Star Wars fan, and loves comic books, and he has those long white boxes of comic book. They're boxes of comic books in the basement.
Right.
They're all his. They're Marvel, they're DC, they're everything.
Uh-huh.
I have my own box.
Just X-Files?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the reason I bring this up is because I want to reveal my dorkness.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lovely gift that I got from Jim when he gave me my own comic book box.
That was your wedding gift, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, no, this was before we got married.
Oh.
And I assembled it myself, and he got me the sleeves and the cardboard for all my comic books.
That's serious.
Can I tell you how fun that was, taking
serious.
My comic books,
sure.
my X-Files comic books, and putting them in the sleeve with the cardboard and then putting a piece of scotch tape on there?
So when you think about something like that, you think, well, how could anyone really derive any pleasure from something that simple? But for some reason, that's a good time, isn't it?
I cannot wait to get home to dig through the basement to find my box.
Yeah.
I hope he didn't intermingle his Marvels with my
He doesn't
X-Files.
Seem the type. I don't think he would have done that to you.
You can't mix and match them.
Not with these, no. Nope. Well, you're going to have a good weekend then, aren't you?
I can't wait to get home. Can I leave now?
Not yet. No, just give it a little bit of time. You'll be fine. They'll still be there when you get there.
But now I understand that fandom. That's
yeah.
what really did it for me.
Yeah.
And now it's the Blackhawks. When did their comic book come out?
They're not in comic book
Darn
form.
It. Bobbleheads. I got all my bobbleheads.
There are bobbleheads, right?
There were some people that would surprise us now. Dylan started watching the backlog of X-Files, starting with season one after the new episode this past weekend. I think he's on season two already. And on episode two of season one, Seth Green appears.
Mm-hmm.
He's a stoner. And that was before we really knew him.
He would have been a young teenager at the time, I'm guessing,
mm-hmm.
right?
He still looks the same to
me,
though.
Well, he played, Seth Green played Woody Allen in Radio Days. You know the movie Radio Days?
Yeah.
When they show a young Woody Allen, or his character anyway, in Radio Days, that's Seth Green. I think it's Radio Days. It's one of the Woody Allen movies anyway.
All right, well, I got to look that up. But these are a bunch of surprising stars that we saw in The X-Files before we knew who they were.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Hutchison, I don't know who that is.
I'm not sure who that is.
Before
either.
Becoming Mr. Courtney Stodden, the Green Mile actor appeared as a liver-eating mutant.
Oh, I do know who that is.
With the ability to stretch his body in two episodes. So funny that the Stretch Armstrong theme comes back.
It always does. I can't explain why, but it always does.
Donald Logue. I really liked him. The Gotham star played a colleague of Scully's who didn't approve of her association with Spooky Mulder, as his nickname was.
Yeah.
And he went, didn't he do a sitcom for a while?
Yeah, he's been in a lot of independent movies.
And I like him.
A couple TV shows.
How about this? You'll know her, Felicity Huffman.
Sure.
Do you remember these episodes as I'm bringing up
these
names?
One of the Desperate Housewives.
Yes. And
I remember in her episode, she had wild hair is all I remember, right? Did she have like real curly hair?
It was kind of
not that wild, I guess. You're showing me a picture.
Bangs, yeah. And but there was it was like a ripoff of The Thing, that particular episode.
Yeah.
If you watched the new X-Files, you saw the beginning. Do you remember Fluke Man that was shown?
Yeah, he looked like a worm, kind of.
Yeah.
Is that the guy? Yeah.
Oh, this is the greatest. Mark Shepard, do you know who that is?
No.
Before Wreaking Havoc on Supernatural, I don't know what show that is, but he played a murderous arsonist.
Uh huh.
And he could just start fire out of thin air.
This bodes well for whoever the casting directors were for the show at the time, because you find all these actors that aren't real popular, and I know you've got a bunch more, but it just shows they're really good at it, because so many of the people on that show went on to bigger and better things.
Absolutely. And I'm sorry, but I think there are going to be stars that want to get in on it now.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what I thought Kurt said, that, and what I've read is six episodes is what they agreed to, and if it does well, and I thought I could have sworn I heard Gillian Anderson's quote saying, if it goes well and we like what's written and we have the time.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? If it's a success, they'll keep doing it for sure?
It means if the paycheck is right, they'll find a way to make time for it. I just want to confirm, I had said Seth Green played Woody Allen in a movie. I thought it was Radio Days. It is Radio Days. He plays the same character when he's a much younger kid.
Bill, I didn't doubt you. The listeners didn't doubt you. Why do you doubt yourself?
I just, you know, it's been a rough week. just want to get something right.
Bradley Whitford was in an episode of The X-Files from the West Wing.
Mm-hmm. And former husband to the mother from Malcolm in the Middle. They were married for a long time. Jane Kaczmarski.
They were, yeah.
But no longer.
Terry O'Quinn. I don't know who this guy is.
Oh, yes, you do. He's in everything. He was the original stepfather in the stepfather movies. He's a balding guy. He did remember when X-Files had like a companion show about, I'm trying to think of what they called it. He was in the show that was on after the X-Files, another real eerie show on Fox for a while.
Not Fight for the Future.
No, that was the title of one of the X-Files movies, wasn't it?
Because he was an FBI agent in that, but Terry O'Quinn.
When you
oh,
see
he's
him...
from the Lost. He's the guy who's...
John.
Yes.
Yeah, he's him.
Did you say that before?
No. I wanted you to realize it on your own. It's more impressive if you figure it out on
your
own.
Yeah, because you see a picture of him
John
and he's
Locke.
Got like a... Yes, he's got like a John Waters mustache in the episode of the X-Files, and I didn't recognize him.
Yeah.
He was great in Lost.
There was a show on After X-Files with him and an actress named Megan Gallagher, who is one of those actors or actresses like Timothy Daly, where anytime they put them on a show, then the show gets canceled for some weird reason. And I don't know why, because they're both really good actors and actresses, but as soon as you go, oh, no, I like the show, and Timothy Daly's on it, and then they announce that it's been canceled the next day.
That's terrible news. It's hell to be him.
No.
Breaking Bad star, Dean Norris.
Mm-hmm.
And he played Hank, right?
He was the
on
brother-in-law.
Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
God, I didn't realize he was in an episode of The X-Files. Tony Shalhoub.
Yeah, I don't remember the episode, but I remember seeing him on there.
He was literally a man, the former Monk star, a man who was afraid of his own shadow, literally. He thought his shadow was going to kill him.
Oh, that's right. That was a good episode.
And two really famous guys together in one episode, and we were talking about this off the air.
Oh, I remember this. This is a very young Jack Black.
Yep.
And a very young Giovanni Ribisi.
Yep.
And one of them, I can't remember, I think Giovanni Ribisi had the power to change electricity. Like,
yep.
They would sit out in front of a stoplight, and they would just, with his mind, he would change it, and then there'd be a big car crash.
These were all great. You know, the truth is out there.
That's what I've heard.
Willie Garson from the Sex and the City. I don't know who that is.
Is he Sex or City? He's one of the
Probably
other.
City.
I've never seen it.
There's an actress who was Serenity on Firefly, Jewel State.
Don't know her.
How come you don't know these people? Ryan Reynolds, do you know him?
Mm-hmm. He came up in our handsome quiz yesterday.
Yes, he did. He was a slightly chubby teenager in a particular episode. They're giving up too much information in some of these.
Oh.
Michael Bublé was in an episode of The X-Files.
I didn't know that.
The famous crooner appeared uncredited in two episodes of The X-Files.
So he was an actor at some point?
Yeah, and he was kicked off the set for stealing a hot dog, allegedly.
That's Bublé. Classic Bublé right there. That's why I won't have him on the show. Kevin every day goes, "Do you guys want to have Michael Bublé on?" And there's always a tray of hot dogs. And I'm like, I don't think so.
SVU star B.D. Wong was in an episode of The X-Files.
Yeah.
And if you see him, you would remember. I didn't watch SVU.
B.D. Wong is on everything. He's a Broadway actor. I think somebody can help me with the title of this show that Terry O'Quinn was on, because I can't think of the name of it.
Terry O'Reilly?
No, Terry.
Bill O'Reilly?
No, that's not it.
Okay, Alex is on the line. Hi, Alex.
Yeah, it was called Millennium.
That's it, Millennium.
Yeah, with what's his name? Lance Henriksen. He was Fish and Alien.
Right.
It was similar to the X-Files. I think he actually was in a couple of the X-Files episodes. It was like another unofficial spinoff.
And Lance Henriksen is an actor. He was an alien, as you pointed out. He's an actor who's never smiled in anything ever.
Agreed.
He's always real downtrodden and sad.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But it was similar to the X-Files, but it was a little bit more spooky, ghost, spirits type of stuff.
Right.
I watched it.
That was really good.
It was pretty good, but you're right. That guy never smiled.
Because when we had Megan Gallagher on, who played his girlfriend on the show, I asked her, has there ever been a time Lance Henriksen, maybe the cameras aren't running and he smiles? She goes, I've never seen it. He just wouldn't smile. Even if you'd tickle him, because I used to want to tickle him, and I'm like, he wouldn't smile.
Well, see, yesterday when, you know, Abe Vigoda's headline was the sunken-eyed character actor, Lance Henriksen, when he passes away, is going to be the character actor who never smiled.
Never smiled. So sad. Alex, thank you for remembering that for me. I couldn't remember it. Millennium.
Lucy Liu was in an episode of The X-Files.
Was she?
Yep.
Who did she play?
She was in the same episode as B.D. Wong, and she played a sick woman.
Oh.
That's all I can tell you. Luke Wilson appeared on an episode of one of the Wilson brothers, Owen's brother.
Uh-huh.
Yes, he was a Bucktooth sheriff in one of the most beloved episodes of The X-Files of all time.
Oh, the Bucktooth sheriff episode.
Lori Holden, who was also on Breaking Bad.
Holden's from
Walking Dead. All these one-named and two-named shows. Yes, she, I didn't realize, was on The X-Files. The blonde.
Yeah.
And Bryan Cranston.
That's an impressive list of people.
There's way more, but these are some of the big ones. And you should do yourself a favor and watch them. They're all on Netflix, all 9 seasons.
Excellent. Excellent. A quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I'm going to go ask Billy.
This is one of the songs they play in every movie about drug abuse from 1969 through 1979. If the movie had drug abuse, you'd hear this song in the background.
And the Vietnam War.
Absolutely right. You had mentioned that another music icon has passed away.
And it's I left people in suspense.
Yes, you did.
And I'm sorry.
It's been a terrible year for the world of music. We've lost some greats, and now another one.
Yes, we have lost Jefferson Airplane Paul Kantner.
Mm-hmm.
He died at the age of 74, and you had said to me off the air you didn't realize he was so old.
Whenever I think of him, it's footage that I've seen of him from the 70s, and then I go, okay, so that was a while ago, so I'll add 10 years to that. But no, he was up in the his 70s.
Well, how old do you think like Mick Jagger is and stuff? And Keith Richards, for God's sake.
Guys are around 70, right?
I got to tell you, if I'm Keith Richards right about now, I'm thinking, boy, we're losing Bowie. We're losing, who else passed away?
Well, the list goes on and on. Natalie Cole. I mean, there's so many that we've lost over the last couple of...
Who was the one who was right after Bowie?
Grizzly Adams. But he wasn't really... He wasn't really known for his music, but he could play. I mean...
I can't think of it.
The
one right after David Bowie? It saddens me.
There's
Paul Kantner is at the age of 74. He had a heart attack. His death was confirmed by longtime publicist and friend. He died of multiple organ failure and septic shock. That is so sad.
That's awful.
He had a string of health problems in recent years, including a heart attack that he had in March. So he wasn't doing well. And, of course, he was responsible for hooking up with Grace Slick and
Marty Balin
and Jorma Karkkainen.
Yep. Whose name is the same both frontwards and backwards.
Yes. And Jack Cassidy. And
Cassidy?
A different Jack Cassidy. Yes. Cassidy.
Oh.
And Somebody to Love, White Rabbit, their big hits, Jefferson Airplane, Paul Kantner, dead at the age of 74.
And remind me, because I don't remember, that band had several incarnations. First Jefferson Airplane, then Jefferson Starship, then Starship. And then there was another one that was just their initials, right?
Yeah, and then Paul Kantner and Grace Slick transformed the airplane into Jefferson Starship in 1974.
To reflect the times.
Well, they said taking the name from a Kantner solo album. And then when Kantner left Starship in 85, he accepted an $80,000 settlement in exchange for a promise not to use the names Jefferson or Airplane without Grace Slick's consent.
Oh.
And Grace Slick was, I believe, born in Chicago.
Was she?
And she, when we were on our honeymoon in Hawaii, she has a little art studio, and she paints, and that's what she does.
How about that?
And she was there, and she was
Was in there?
Yeah, it was.
She talked to her
for
a little
bit? Yes, I did. And it was very cool. And Glenn Frey is the other guy that I cannot believe we didn't think of that
passed away. He did.
After David Bowie.
Yeah.
So the rock and roll train is going down the track and not to a very good place.
No. Very, very busy. I like their music. It's one of those bands that it's just so representative of their era. You know, when you hear it, it just transports you back to the 70s, basically, doesn't it?
Well, I hate to admit that I like this song by the Starship.
Which song?
We Built This City.
That's a likable
Marconi
song.
Marconi plays the mambo. Listen to the radio. Don't you remember?
The lyrics are a little abstract.
I know, but it's...
There's nothing wrong with that song. That's a fine song.
It's not really that fine. But you know what? You have a guilty pleasure that you really enjoy, and that's one of them. We built this city.
That's a likable song. The one, and I know it wasn't the whole band, I think it was just Marty Balin who did... Wasn't there a song called Hearts that he did that was pretty popular for a while? I know it's what you would call wuss rock, because it is. But it was...
We Built This City's pretty close, Bill.
It's pretty close.
That's my guilty pleasure.
See if you can find... I want to say it's just called Hearts by Marty Balin of Starship. Or was at that point, was it... I can't remember the chronological order of when that song came out. But when you hear it, you'll know the song. It used to get so much radio play.
Really?
Yeah.
I have it.
Believe me, as soon as you hear it, you'll go, oh, this.
And
then you'll make fun of me.
I will.
This is it. Remember this?
I'm laughing at you.
I don't know what it is about this song, but I used to enjoy it. I still enjoy it a little bit. Is everything all right? This is a guy caring about his audience. This is a great recording of it, by the way.
I'm sorry, this is the first one that came up. I remember this.
You remember
this
song?
Yeah.
There's worse songs than that, right?
Mm.
No. That's the worst song ever. I enjoy the worst song ever. I'm a fan of the worst song ever.
Pretty bad.
He just called to say how much he loves you. That was in the song. It was great. I think he did a version with Squiggy, too. If you can find that.
Systematic.
What is this?
Traumatic. Ultramatic.
Oh, I got to skip what? The ad. Right. You know the song, and I gotta hear a little of it now.
All right.
I got a musical
we
taste.
Built this city. We built this city on
you know what sells this song? The reverb. I like that they've reverbed it. That makes it better.
The electronic drums really does
yeah.
it for me. Come on, this
when
is
I hear
good
this,
song.
I just see colored panels. Don't you? You know what I mean? I just see colors when I hear this.
Say you don't know me.
Now try to explain these lyrics to me, because I've heard the song 1,000 times. I have no idea what they're singing about.
Say you don't care to that kind of place.
Where's Grace?
Painting. In her shop. She's put a second coat on something.
This is catchy, come on.
This is catchy. It is.
I'm jamming up here.
Are you, Kim? You liking this?
I am. I love all these.
Marconi plays the mamba.
What does that mean? I'm sure it's representative of something, but what? What does he mean when he says Marconi plays the mamba?
Well, Marconi invented the radio.
So he could play the mamba?
Yeah. Because they built the city on rock and roll, don't you know?
That is not the strongest foundation to build a city on. This is music. This, ladies and gentlemen, is what music was invented for right here.
This is not good.
But right out of the box, is everything all right? It shows that he cares about you. Listen how beautiful this is. I played the triangle for this song in my school band.
This sounds like the Muzak version of it.
No, that's the beauty of this song, is the song and the Muzak version are exactly the same. Listen how caring.
Is everything all right? Way to hit the
Isn't
post.
Isn't that nice?
I just called to say I lost.
In the new version, he sings, I just texted to say how much I feel without you.
Is this how you're eulogizing this poor man?
No, this isn't
this
Paul
is Marty
Kantner.
Balin.
Oh, okay.
This is Marty Balin.
This is Bill's favorite song. Hey, Jim, what's going on?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. I don't know if you guys had heard or anything about it, but until this weekend, the remaining members of Starship are playing at the Arcata in St. Charles.
I did know this because this is a little thing that went on in our house. My 16-year-old son wanted to see him. I think Kathy Richardson is playing with them. And we were talking about Paul Kantner, and then a day later he passed away, so I feel somewhat responsible.
Put him on the list.
Well, and then Rad Onesti announced this morning that they will still continue to play this weekend with a huge
tribute.
Like, celebratory tribute to Paul Kantner.
Well, thank you for that information, and you can go to oshows.com. I might take Michael now because I feel like I
you
killed Paul Kantner.
You should definitely go.
You going to see Marty Balin?
I traveled around for several months seeing him.
A Balin head, are you?
Just I'm a Balin head. I think we need to bail now, actually. Steve's going to tell us what's on the Wintrust Business Lunch in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Tim, thanks so much. Hi, it's part two of our Friday show. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. Do you want to join in? Do you want to participate? You want to be part of the fun?
Yes.
312? Well, you're already here, but for everybody who is not here currently, 312 981-7200. You can call in during the show if you like. It's up to you.
All right, I will try.
All right. If the lines are busy, don't give up, Wendy. It just means that we're on
I don't
a hot
know if I'm
topic.
Answer.
Oh, I can't get a dial tone.
No?
I was trying to do it.
No, not
I was
now.
Call in. I want to speak to you.
Well, later on you can. We have 2 more hours. I'm going to throw a name at you. Tell me if you've heard of this guy, Donald Trump. Are you familiar with the name Donald Trump?
Give me a clue.
Donald Trump. Where would you know him from? He was in the movie Gremlins. Did you know
yes,
that?
Yes, I remember him now.
He played his
One
own
of the Gremlins.
Self. No, he played Donald
he
Trump
was
in the Gremlins.
In there?
Yeah. He was in there. Either Gremlins or Gremlins 2. I don't remember which. It's been a while.
His hair looks like he has a gremlin sitting on top of his head.
You may have just answered one of life's biggest mysteries.
That explains
that
it because I
it
thought
is.
You were kidding that he was in
No.
It.
No. Did you see, speaking of Donald Trump, and this, I'll get to the purpose of this in just a second.
No need.
Well, he was on an episode of Oprah like 20-something years ago, and Oprah asked him about the possibility of being president. I don't know where I saw this. I saw this about 2 or 3 days ago. But Oprah said, you know, would you ever run for president? And he just gave his, that's not for me. And Oprah even made some joke about, you know, if you did it, you'd lose a lot of money, which we've all talked about the last few months. But he goes, no, that's not for me. I don't see myself ever wanting to run for president.
Well, let's find that audio and send him an MP3 to remind him. Right. And then let's send Oprah some bread.
There's also a video of Ted Cruz that I saw on Wednesday where he's 18 years old. And they ask him what he wants to do in the future, and he uses the phrase world domination, that he's interested in world domination.
At 18.
At 18 years old.
Conscientious young man.
So, yeah, I guess you could say that. I guess that's true. All right, the reason I brought up Donald Trump is this. For years, many people have believed, and I've been one of them, that if somebody has a British accent, they just sound smarter. I don't know what it is. But if you have a British accent, trust me when I tell you, because I've been looking for this my whole life, you get IQ points just for having a British accent. It doesn't make sense, but it's true. Do you agree with that?
Yeah,
or disagree?
We were just talking about this with Abe Vigoda. Has this little bit of a hint of British accent going when we listened to some interviews after he passed away. Madonna, of course, did that.
Yeah.
And you said there was a teacher at a school you went to.
At Columbia College, one of our teachers had a British accent. And he was from the south side of Chicago, near White Sox Park.
And I asked you, I said, did he do it to sound smarter? And that's your theory.
Yeah, I think he did. All right, so based on this theory, there's a man in England. He's an actor and a comedian, and his name is Peter Serafinowicz. And what he did was he took a speech that Donald Trump made very recently, and then he kind of dubbed it. He took it word for word, exactly what Donald Trump said in his speech, but he's got a Cockney accent. Now,
You can't say that on the air.
No, I can. Accent? I can say that. So there's a bunch of different accents in England, and the Cockney one isn't considered to be the most upper crust of all of them, but even with that accent, Donald Trump just sounds, I don't know, I'll let you decide. Does he sound smarter or not as smart? This is Donald Trump, as dubbed by a British comedian and actor, Peter Serafinowicz. Tell me if you think this makes a difference.
Look, I was the best thing that ever happened to Bernie Sanders. Because my attack on Hillary, all of a sudden she went down and Sanders got all the credit for it. Right? This guy, this guy, Bernie Sanders, give me a break. How does he figure it all this? But he got all the credit. It's unbelievable. I have to say that once, I assume the press is listening to me. But I had to it up because she said false things about me.
So I hit her hard.
But I haven't even focused, you know, on a Fox poll and another poll that just came out that I'm beating Hillary. But I'm beating Hillary, I'll beat Hillary. But I haven't even focused.
All right, Kevin, you can stop it there.
I can't get past his Darth Vader meets Sid Vicious type of audio
There's too much reverb. Yeah, that I would have done without.
And
if
they
I were
deepened
him.
His voice.
No, that guy actually talks like that, really. He does. That's his voice.
All right.
That's Peter Serafinowicz's real voice.
Well, that doesn't
it's
match.
Too deep.
Yeah.
But he sounds like he'd be like, you remember in Oliver Twist, he sounds like one of the bad guys, the henchman in Oliver Twist. It doesn't sound like
it's Darth Vader-y.
There's an element to that.
But did it make him sound smarter? Not the Cockney, I don't think.
Yeah, maybe I would have gone with more of a
Queen's
regal,
English.
Yeah, that would have more juice to it, wouldn't it? If he had that kind of a voice.
Yeah.
I still don't think I'd vote for him, but at least I'd pay a little more attention to him.
But I don't think we're criticizing the fact that he's not smart.
He is. Actually, I've heard several people say just the mere fact that he's pulling this off proves that he's not just smart, but he's brilliant. And I have a hard time thinking otherwise.
Oh, I agree. He didn't want to be in a situation where he would look bad, although we all have to go in those situations throughout our lives.
Yeah.
You can't just avoid a situation because you may look bad in it.
I know.
I do have the Oprah interview.
Can you play a little bit of this? It's very telling as to what we now see. It was the far-off, distant future when he first did this with Oprah.
1988.
So that's 27 years ago.
You took out a full-page ad in major U.S. newspapers last year criticizing U.S. foreign policy. What would you do differently, Donald?
I'd make
our allies, forgetting about the enemies you can't talk to so easily. I'd make our allies pay their fair share. We're a debtor nation. Something's going to happen over the next number of years with this country, because you can't keep going on losing $200 billion, and yet we let Japan come in and dump everything right into our markets and everything. It's not free trade. If you ever go to Japan right now and try to sell something, forget about it, Oprah. Just forget about it. It's almost impossible. They don't have laws against it. They just make it impossible.
Doesn't he sound astute and, like, not so whack jobby?
Yeah, and I can't figure out why.
Because he's in control more. He's not just kind of, I don't think the ego had grown so much. He's still kind of sitting back in his chair, you know, acting like, oh, yeah, I know what I'm talking about. But he's smoother, I think.
He hadn't perfected, are you able to watch the video while you're playing
this?
Yes. He hadn't quite perfected the scowl yet.
Oh, no.
Like, now he's got this scowl going all the time. He hadn't quite learned that yet. But, yeah, he's rattling off these ideas and facts, and you almost go, there's something there.
He hasn't changed his views much.
So, no, probably not.
Can we listen to a
little more? Yeah, listen a little
more. They come over here, they sell their cars, their VCRs, they knock the hell out of our companies. And, hey, I have tremendous respect for the Japanese people.
They love
me. You can respect somebody that's beating the hell out of you, but they are beating the hell out of this country. Kuwait, they live like kings. The poorest person in Kuwait, they live like kings. And yet they're not paying. We make it possible for them to sell their oil. Why aren't they paying us 25% of what they're making? It's a joke.
This sounds like political presidential talk to me. And I know people have talked to you about whether or not you want to run. Would you ever?
Probably not. But I do get tired of seeing the country ripped off.
Why would you not?
I just don't think I really have the inclination to do it. I love what I'm doing. I really like it.
Also, it doesn't pay as well.
No, it doesn't. But, you know, I just probably wouldn't do it, Oprah. I probably wouldn't, but I do get tired of seeing what's happening with this country. And if it got so bad, I would never want to rule it out totally, because I really am tired of seeing what's happening with this country, how we're really making other people live like kings, and we're not.
What do you think of this year's presidential race, the way it's shaping
88.
Up? Well, it's going to be very interesting. I think that probably George Bush has an advantage in terms of the election. I think that probably people would say that he's got like that little edge in terms of the incumbency, et cetera, et cetera. But
by the way, if I might just add that the video that they are showing, boy, the 80s hair in the audience on women in the audience.
Oh, yeah. It's very starchy, isn't it? It's
but
very
that's
starchy.
Interesting.
He also, he hadn't pulled off that thing yet that he did, and I was kidding, but I'm not kidding, where anytime you mention a group now, you know, if somebody says, what about the Eskimo vote? He'll go, Eskimos love me. Like, you could just say anything and he'll explain to you that they love him. But he still had that element of saying things like what he just said. He said the phrase, in Kuwait, they live like kings. Even the poorest people in Kuwait are living like kings.
That's not true.
But he's just got this cadence where he just throws it out there and you go, oh, I didn't know that. But look it up. The poorest people in Kuwait are not living like kings.
He sounds so young, you know, when you hear these interviews. I mean, he was 1988. I can't figure out how old he was then, because I don't know how old he is now. But it's just like you hear like young athletes and young actors when you find old tapes, and
right.
They just sound like, you know, they're
like
little...
it's sped up almost.
Yes, because they're just young and they're not hardened yet.
I know. Would you say he's been hardened since?
A little bit.
Slightly? Just a little bit?
But he wouldn't run for president, as he told Oprah. But he's bothered by the way things are run. So that was a little foreshadowing.
Wasn't it?
Of today.
Yeah, it really was.
Oh, boy.
If you can find the Ted Cruz thing, it's equally as I don't know if that's disturbing. We get a different flavor of,
he's 18.
Of him. Yeah, I guess so. Maybe it's not fair.
I think you said some dumb things when you were 18.
Yeah, but
I
never said, like, I never said to anybody, if somebody said to me when I was 18, what's your plan for the future, I would not have used world domination as a goal. It was slightly more realistic than going, I'll probably take over the world, that sort of thing.
I
wouldn't
18.
Have done that.
He didn't mean it.
I hope not. I hope not. But how interesting that the two leaders on the Republican side are a guy who, when asked years ago, do you think you'll run for president? Probably not. Here's why. And then the other guy who says, yeah, I'm probably going to take over the world at some point.
Let's take a quick break. And I found that Ted Cruz, his aspirations.
All
and
right.
We'll get into that after this break. Bill Left, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.
All right. We've got audio for you. We've got Cruz. We've got Trump. We've got Seasons in the Sun. These
Thank
are a couple.
You, Terry Jacks.
You're welcome. A little bit of audio from a young, very young Donald Trump on the Oprah show as he is asked the question, would you ever run for president? And he goes, I don't think so. And he explains why.
You want to hear that again?
Yeah, let's play a little bit of that.
This is Oprah asking him about the presidential bid.
Political presidential talk to me. And I know people have talked to you about whether or not you want to run. Would you ever?
Probably not. But I do get tired of seeing the country ripped off.
Why would you not?
I just don't think I really have the inclination to do it. I love what I'm doing. I really like it.
Also, doesn't pay as well.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, no, doesn't pay as well.
You know what gets me about that clip is normally the people who are running for president and then the people who eventually end up winning and becoming president always tell the same story that from the time they were young, they had this goal of being the president of the United States. And it always astounds me because I've never had a day like that where I thought, boy, wouldn't that be great to be the president of the United States? But over and over and over again, people who ascend to that office tell the story about how, yeah, my whole life I thought I really would like to be the president. But Donald Trump, when asked that question, goes, no, probably not.
Yeah, but that means he's thought about it.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, probably not. And here's why.
Right. 'Cause
she said, why not?
Yeah.
And he had reasons.
Yeah,
you know, if somebody said, have you ever thought about being president? What would you say?
I would laugh so hard.
I know.
Milk would come out of my nose, and I haven't drank milk in months.
All right. Well, that's Oprah asking Donald Trump about whether or not he's going to run for president back in 1988.
Young Trump.
And we've got a young Cruz, huh?
Yeah, 18-year-old Ted Cruz.
From 88 as well?
Yeah. Is that the same year? Yeah. All right. Here's Ted Cruz.
Well, other than that, take over the world. World domination, you know, rule everything, rich, powerful, that sort of stuff.
That was his aspirations for...
Take over the world domination, that sort of stuff.
He's 18. You can't even...
Seriously, because when I first watched it, I'm like, uh-oh.
And who's but interviewing right. him? And he's goofing around. This is like pre-YouTube.
Yeah, I guess it would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So somebody, who was interviewing him? Do we know that?
Diane Sawyer.
No, it wasn't.
18-year-old Diane Sawyer.
It was his neighbor or his buddy who said, hey, yeah, let's just make a video. I got a new camcorder for Christmas.
I'll keep it in there in case you ever do run for president. We'll pull this out. It'll
and
be
who
fun.
Who did like sell him down the river there?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Wow.
I'd love to hear. Wouldn't it be fun to hear all the candidates? I mean, there's only three on the Democratic side, so it wouldn't take that long. But on the Republican side, it would take a little longer. But to hear all of the young versions of them, don't you want to hear?
No.
You don't want to hear a young Chris Christie?
No. I guess I would, but it wouldn't have anything to do with the election.
Right.
I mean, because really, seriously.
I think you can tell a little bit about something by hearing the younger version of them. I know that things change. I appreciate that things change. But I just think hearing them, you know, before they become corrupt, before they become part of the system, that'd be fun to hear all of them.
It would be fun, but you shouldn't base your decisions on that.
I would never base my decision on it.
Because I know I did stupid things at 18.
Right.
You can't tell me you didn't. You bought turquoise gym shoes and never wore them. That, I think, is
the reason
really
I will
problem.
Not run for president. I'm so embarrassed about that.
When you say, you know, the skeletons in your closet. No, yours are your high tops in your closet.
That would come up in a debate, too. Whoever was debating against me would just...
Katrina and the Waves? Favorite band much?
Huh? That would be the
end
of
really
me.
That's really what... Why didn't you go after some rock god instead of Katrina and the Waves? And
I wasn't sure who the rock gods were. I was just a kid. I didn't know. I had no idea.
You were not just a kid when Katrina and the Waves came out.
I think so. Was I in high school or college? I think.
Oh, I guess.
I think so.
God, we're old.
May I share this story with you? I find this incredibly amusing. I'm a big fan of the Disney parks. You know, I like to go to Disneyland and Disney World.
Did you hear about this new Star Wars world they're building?
Yes.
Like in both. I thought it was just California and the land, but it's going to be in the world in Orlando.
It's not going to be at the main Disney World theme park. It's going to be at their, they call it Disney MGM Studios or something like that. It's the one that's like their movie studio park.
Oh, yeah.
It's in that one. But in Disneyland, it'll be in Disneyland.
That's redundant.
Obviously, that's why they call it Disneyland, I guess. You know who said that? An 18-year-old version of me. I was just reading from a card I wrote when I was 18.
While wearing turquoise high tops.
Yeah, I was wearing turquoise high tops. I said that. I don't know what I was thinking. A family, an Alabama family. Listen to this. How does this happen? An Alabama family wants to sue Disneyland. Here's why. The family says an escaped snake at Disney's Animal Kingdom, that's in Orlando, dropped out of a tree and bit their boy while they were visiting the theme park. So they're walking along, and an escaped snake falls out of a tree, bites the kid, and what happened afterwards is, they say, this led to the death of the boy's grandmother. The family's attorney, Matt Morgan, said on Thursday that the family plans to sue the Disney World Corporation. He says the grandmother saw the snake bite the boy, went into cardiac arrest, and then died a short time later. Now, don't you need to know the definition of a short time later? Like, that could mean a couple minutes later. Like, if she was there and saw this and just got so afraid by the situation and died within minutes, I go, oh, they have a lawsuit. But if by a short time it means a couple of weeks or a month later, because that could be a short time.
That's not, they don't give,
then I don't know.
Define
it. Just says short time later.
I think
more specific.
The snake may have actually saved Disney World some money, because what if she was in the Haunted Mansion,
right,
and something scared her?
Oh.
Seriously, if
True.
She had some kind of heart ailment.
And they warn you.
Yes.
You know, I've been there enough times. I've been there on several of the rides. They say, if you're pregnant or you have a heart ailment, a heart condition, do not go on this ride. But they can't do that with a snake that escapes from Animal Kingdom.
But who's to say she wouldn't have had a heart attack at the Haunted Mansion?
Exactly.
Or terror.
The Tower of Terror?
Yeah. Although she probably wouldn't have gone on that.
She would not have gone
I won't
on
go
that.
On that.
Disney contends that the snake was wild and not part of the Animal Kingdom exhibit, and there was no call for an ambulance for the grandmother after the incident.
You know,
Disney, I've told you this. Disney has this thing where you're not allowed to die on Disney property. That if somebody dies on Disney property, they take you by way of ambulance off Disney property, and then they pronounce you dead. But it's policy there.
I don't believe
you. You're not
you.
Allowed to die
How
there.
Do you know that, and why would that
I've
be true?
I've read books. I have books that say that.
Well, because it's the happiest place on earth, and they don't want someone to have died there.
There's a book that I read called Inside the Mouse. I don't remember the author's name, but I read it a couple of years ago. And the entire book is things that have happened at Disney World and Disneyland.
According to someone.
Well, every book is according to someone.
Well, I mean, how do we know that to be true then?
Because it's in print. It's not on the internet.
Yes, that's true. That makes it more valid.
If it was fake, it'd be on the internet. But it's all these stories about horrible things that have happened, and I could go into detail. But
we, Dylan got lice when we were at Disney.
That should be in the book.
And they treated us. Actually, they couldn't treat us because they didn't have RID on the premises.
They don't have RID at Disney World.
But they specifically said, "Oh yeah, that's lice." And I'm like, "Oh my god, I'm horrified. I'm so embarrassed." And like, this happens all the time.
Sure.
They had little printouts that said,
right,
"Here's who you call that does deliveries of RID to your hotel room."
And the lice at Disney World are actually adorable.
Disney on lice. That was the name of our trip. I'm not kidding. It was really not that fun. My first time back in a while, but I've done a make good.
Of course
not. You can't die there.
No, they will not allow it.
But see, now it's Florida. There's going to be wild snakes that, you know, get in without a ticket.
I know that.
They don't have a wristband or a body band.
No, they sneak in.
Right.
They sneak in. All right, we will do a quick break, and then Steve will give you the news, and then we have a lot more show coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, Valentine's Day is coming up. It is February 14. It is Sunday this year.
It's a Sunday, yeah.
So a lot of kids will have Valentine's Day parties, although I don't know when that ends. I know that you had to bring a Valentine for every kid. You couldn't bring anything with nuts, and they asked no candy. They just said, you know, when my kids were growing up in an elementary school, you could bring a Valentine, but no peanuts. I guess you could bring sweet tarts. That was okay.
Oh, all right.
But now there might be a cancellation of Valentine's Day, which I think is terrible. Where is this going on, Ryan Burrow?
This is in St. Paul. It is at Bruce Vento Elementary School. And it's getting a lot of buzz, a lot of chatter right now on social media. And the reason is they're ending not only Valentine's Day, but other holidays as well. Celebrations, that is. Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Valentine's. You have to understand something about this school, and don't read too much into it about what I'm going to say here. 52% of the student body are Asian Pacific Islander, 35% Black, 6.9% Hispanic, and 4.3% White, 1% American Indian, Alaskan Native. And essentially what the superintendent, the principal has to say is because The school system is so diverse and it's filled with families from around the world. They strive to respect all cultures and all students. And they realize that many of the students and many of their families don't celebrate all these holidays. And as a result, they don't want to exclude anyone from any kind of celebration. There is also concern over financials regarding, you know, like you said, with, you know, candy or Valentine's or things like that. Maybe some of these kids can't afford them.
Ryan, at Halloween time, Wendy and I did the story about a school, and it wasn't in Minnesota. I don't remember where the school was located, but they had decided for similar reasons to do away with any Halloween celebration. And we said at the time, and almost all the callers and texters agreed, just because you're in a new environment, that doesn't mean you do away with a tradition like this. If you're in America now, I hate to say it, but it's part of the makeup of America.
Donald Trump Jr.
Donald Trump Jr.
But can I jump in and say something on that?
Sure.
If they're there, if they have a diverse population and the minority are white students, mm-hmm. why not respect all the cultures and ethnicities and show what these different people celebrate.
They could do that. Why can't
like
they
Whitey
do that?
Celebrates Valentine's Day. We can, but you know what I mean. That's showing that the different cultures and the way in which you celebrate holidays.
Well, and the principal hasn't closed the door on all of this, and admits this was a very difficult decision, but says that right now, as he sees it, because he doesn't want to be exclusive, he doesn't essentially want to be inclusive for all of these.
Yeah,
he wants it to be kind of fair.
The Valentine's. Because then you'd be celebrating something every day.
Yeah,
right? But I mean, what's wrong with that? You need stuff like that through the year.
They also took away birthday celebrations a few years ago to ensure inclusiveness.
Because that's not fair. Why do you have to make your own treat for your own birthday? Aren't people supposed to treat you?
Right. You always had to bring in a bag of candy or cupcakes on your birthday and give them to kids.
No, you should be getting taken care of.
But you get to wear a crown usually, right?
Yeah.
I will say our school district did something that I hadn't heard of, and I thought it was really great. On for the elementary aged kids on the birthday, you know, of course you get your name on the announcements, and then you got to go to the library and pick out a book that you wanted for your birthday.
And keep it?
Yeah. They had like, you know, for their
really?
Their parent teacher committee or PTC, because it's not PTA anymore.
Yeah.
They had, you know, fundraisers and things throughout the year where they had these books that on your birthday, you got the announcement, you got to go during lunch to the library and pick your book out. Some other schools in the area, but not the same district, you had to bring a book in to donate to the library.
Hmm. Oh.
Very interesting.
But I like the getting a book and your name on the announcement. That is the gift of reading.
That's always stunk for me because my birthday's in June. So,
right.
So you didn't get a half birthday?
Celebrations. No, because actually my half birthday was over Christmas break.
Oh.
Well, then you don't deserve a book or a cake.
You were born on the worst possible day of the year.
Yeah, right?
Oh, this is terrible.
Yeah.
Now, when we first heard this story that they were doing away with Valentine's Day, this is what we surmised in the office between Wendy and Kevin and myself. We said it's probably because some kids will feel left out because on Valentine's Day, like at our school, you didn't have to give them to every kid. You could just give them to the kids you wanted to give them
sure.
to. And there were always some kids that had a big bag of them, and then there were always kids that had nothing.
Well, that they changed that. You had to give all or none.
Yeah.
Since we've been in school.
Yeah, I guess. Fairness.
I always thought Valentine's Day at school was a weird holiday anyway. You're crushing on someone, you don't want to give the...
That is totally true, because some of the things, know? Like we got Star Wars ones, and it would be like, may the Force be with you and me. And I'm like, you're going to give that to a guy? It's okay. It's not wrong, but I don't think you want to.
As a child of the 80s and early 90s, I had the Michael Jordan ones, which says romance quite like your Sir Ernest.
But it's also weird because it's a holiday based on, you know, sexual chemistry and attraction. And for grade school kids, like I'd be drawing my name and Suzanne Plachette's name all over my folders. And that wasn't quite right. That was awkward.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Suzanne Plachette. So what can we, the consumer, do to stop this? Because we want kids to celebrate holidays.
Write your congressman.
That's all we can do.
Yeah. Load up the call. No, I wouldn't be surprised if this is the first school. I'm sure we've heard of many. We'll hear of many schools. You'll probably get many text messages.
Ryan,
I know some of these schools.
It says here I'm on the internet. Have you been on the internet? It says here that Donald Trump is going to build a wall around all the holidays and not let them in. Is that possible? He can't
amazing.
Do that.
He's a giver.
St. Valentine's Day is stupid anyway.
You just said that out loud? You're a girl. You can't say that.
My birthday's
something every guy in the world knows, but no girls are supposed to know.
My birthday is February 12th.
Oh.
So Jim gets off easy. I don't need.
Keep that to
yourself. He's allowed to double that
that's
up.
That's your problem.
Well, yeah. And like Sweetest Day, too. That's completely made up. Yeah, really, Valentine's Day is the same thing.
Well, I love people who say, yeah, Sweetest Day is fake. That's made up. Valentine's Day is fake and made
that's
up.
That's what I'm saying. They both are.
I know they are.
So
although the one thing I can tell you is being in mid-February in Chicago, it gives you at least something, right?
I know.
I mean, baseball's still a long ways away. We've got these little speed bumps that kind of get us through the winter, and that's one of them, I guess.
Groundhog's Day should be celebrated more than Valentine's Day, because that can really depict whether or not we're going to have a longer winter.
Sure, of course.
Okay.
Of course it is.
Yeah, that one's, they didn't have that one on there. Maybe they'll celebrate that one.
Can I ask, this is called the Bruce Vento School that you did the story about?
Yeah, Bruce Vento.
Who is that guy? Oh, is he somebody we should know?
Mentos.
Google it.
The Fresh Maker. his thing is, on all holidays, you have to bring in mints for all the children.
And for the kids who couldn't afford it, you could always make a Valentine. That is super simple.
True.
Hey, man, I don't make the rules. I just...
You need construction paper and a picture of a heart.
Maybe a picture of Michael Jordan. I don't know.
That's all you need.
Michael Jordan. That's so cute.
Yeah, they may still have those out there.
Well, Ryan, you have made us all sad.
Yes.
I hope you're happy that thanks to you, there will be no more Valentine's Day for kids in schools in Minnesota. So we appreciate it.
Sure.
Thank you all very much.
Yep.
All right. That's Ryan. We'll take a quick break and then more show ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. This is from Toy Story?
It
is, right? It's Randy Newman?
Yeah. God, this was one of the best Pixars.
Yeah. It was, wasn't it? Uh-huh. And the sequels have been good, too.
Yep.
Before our visit from Ryan Burrow, we were telling you the story about a family out in Orlando, Florida. It's an Alabama family vacationing at Disney World at Animal Kingdom. And a snake comes down and bites the boy. A
Say,
real snake.
What are you doing here?
Not any of the Disney snakes, not Ka from Jungle Book or Sir Hiss from Robin Hood.
Slippery this time of year.
But an actual snake bit the boy, and they say in the lawsuit that this led to the death of the boy's grandmother.
How so?
A short time later. But it doesn't say, they don't define a short time later. Like, I want to know, does that mean within minutes of seeing this, or hours, or like months later? Was she thinking about it?
That could be shortly, depending on how you look at it.
So then I said, and I know this because I've read this in books, I'm a big fan of Disney, and I've read that you're not allowed to die on Disney property, that they have this thing where even if you do stop breathing, they will not declare you dead, they will take you off premises, and then as soon as you pass the boundary line, then somebody will say, this person is dead.
And you read this in a book, and...
Inside the Mouse, it's called.
I've heard of that.
There's a couple of books that deal with this sort of thing, like the mythology and what's behind the scenes, behind the curtain. But this particular book says you're not allowed to die at Disney World or Disneyland.
I got to be honest with you, I didn't believe you. So someone texted, check it out at Snopes, and I did, and it says, here's the claim. Mm-hmm. Several guests have lost their lives on various Disneyland attractions.
Mm-hmm.
True.
That part's true, that they have stopped existing while there, but do they cop to it? Do the Disney people say, this guy's dead? This guy stopped breathing.
You know what,
oh,
Bill? I just have the deaths. I don't know if it's that they can say they died on the property, but this is going to tell you that they have been killed on Disneyland attractions since the park's opening in 1955.
Yikes.
All deaths except the two most recent were the result of guests who apparently ignored safety instructions and or defeated ride safety mechanisms.
When you think about the volume of people that pass through the four Disney theme parks in Orlando, Florida, and the two Disney theme parks in Anaheim, California, look at the volume. You're talking about millions of people. There's no way people aren't going to die while they're there.
It's going to happen. So we know that it's going to happen. But can we talk about these Disneyland deaths?
Are they real gruesome or what? No? All right.
But
what happened?
It's not going to deter anyone from going.
You should go. It's the happiest place on earth.
Unless you die. That it's not as happy. That it becomes very unhappy.
Mickey, I can't read these
Sorry.
Now.
Just state the facts, ma'am.
That's how I talked to Terry on Valentine's Day, and boy, does she love it.
Mickey, let me ask you something.
Sure.
I heard you were mad at Minnie.
Yeah.
You know the joke. Right? I almost got you to say it, didn't I, Mickey?
Yeah.
I was very close to getting us all in trouble. We'd lose our license.
You know, Bill Leff would never fall for that, but Mickey,
no, I'm gullible. I'm more gullible.
Oh, no.
Gullible's Travels. Wasn't that a Disney ride?
No, they don't have that ride there. No.
I can't believe you almost said that. It's Mickey. I know.
That would have been a low point.
I'm bummed because I don't actually know the punchline.
Oh, my God.
According to legend, Minnie was having a relationship with Goofy. But I can't. You can't.
My God, love my Auntie Mary, who was 80.
Your Aunt Mary told you that joke?
She said it on the air at the Loop radio station. I had to dump my Aunt Mary. Oh, Wendy, wow. You know why Mickey's mad at Minnie? Why, Aunt Mary? Didn't think in a million years she said it. And she said, because he's mm-mm. What?
Because she's blanking Goofy. How about that?
Mickey, how about that? Mickey almost said it.
Mickey came close. He's in the
green believe
room.
You in character think you can just do stuff.
I don't understand it either.
I think that's in the rule book. If you're in character,
the character gets
in trouble. Not.
No, yeah. Mickey, I am not going down because of you.
Read the SEC license. It says if you're in character, you can do it.
Did you have a British accent there for a
yeah.
Character.
I was thinking of Abe Vigoda.
Oh, you know,
Mickey, you sound smarter with a British accent.
No one knows why, but he does. Nobody knows why.
All right.
What happened?
In May of 1964, a 15-year-old Long Beach, California resident was killed when he tried to stand up on the Matterhorn bobsleds.
Really? You know, there's been stories at every amusement park, including our own Riverview, where it says at the top of nearly every roller coaster, there's something posted that says, do not stand up on the ride. And this is the legend that I heard about our own Riverview, that several people standing up got hit by that sign that tells them not to stand up, and it knocked them off the ride and killed them.
It's all right. They would have gotten killed by the serial killer anyway who was around the devil in the White City. Didn't he go to the fair?
No, that wasn't Riverview. That was the World's Fair.
Get them mixed up.
Know your history.
I don't.
You got to know your amusement park history.
I certainly don't, Mickey. You still mad at Minnie?
Oh, that's not good.
No, it sure isn't. So his companion foolishly unbuckled his seatbelt and attempted to stand up as the bobsled neared the peak of the mountain. That's their own fault. Gravity is pretty hard, too.
Right.
I know.
Right.
No, that's just stupid.
Keep your seatbelts on.
In 1966, Thomas Guy Cleveland. I don't know if it's a relation.
Thomas Guy Cleveland.
19-year-old Northridge, California resident was killed when he attempted to sneak into Disneyland along the monorail track.
Yeah.
He scaled the park's 16-foot-high outer fence on a grad night and climbed onto the monorail track, intending to jump or climb down once inside the park. He ignored a security guard's shouted warnings of an approaching monorail train, and he did not leap in time to clear the track. And
these are horrible stories.
August 1967, Ricky Lee Yama, 17-year-old Hawthorne, California resident, was killed when he disregarded safety instructions and exited his people mover as the ride was passing through a tunnel.
Ugh.
Good golly.
These all, I mean, really, I've been there so many times, it defies any kind of intelligence to do these sort of things. It's not really, none of these are Disneyland's
survival
fault
of the
or
fittest.
Disney World's fault. Yeah, I guess so.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know? June 1973, 18-year-old Bogdan DeLauro, 18-year-old Brooklyn resident, drowned trying to swim across the rivers of America. Why do you do that?
No, you shouldn't do that.
He and his 10-year-old brother managed to stay on Tom Sawyer Island past its dusk closing time by climbing the fence separating the island from the burning settler's cabin.
Hmm.
When they decided to leave the island a few hours later, they chose to swim across the river rather than call attention to their rule-breaking by appealing to cast members for help because the younger brother didn't know how to swim. DeLauro tried to carry him on his back and swim to shore, and he went down about halfway across the river. The younger boy remained afloat by dog paddling until a ride operator hauled him aboard a boat.
Terrible.
That's a terrible
story. All those
story.
Are awful.
June 1980, Geraldo Gonzalez, a recent San Diego high school grad, was killed on the People Mover in an accident much like the one that had befallen Ricky Lee Yama 13 years earlier. Mm. In the early mornings, he was climbing from car to car as the People Mover entered the super speed tunnel.
You can't do that.
No.
These are all obvious. They've made mistakes. I mean, it's terrible that they all perished, but in every one of these stories, they did something they weren't supposed to do.
And this happened on the property.
Because that's the last thing any amusement park wants.
Well, this is Disneyland.
Wants. Are they all Disneyland?
Yeah.
That's the last thing any amusement park wants, Disney or otherwise, is to have things like this happen. They're so careful, usually.
48-year-old Dolly Regen Young, 1984, Fremont, California, was killed on the Matterhorn in an incident remarkably similar to that first Disneyland guest nearly 20 years earlier. About two-thirds of the way down the mountain, Young was thrown from her seat into the path of an oncoming bobsled.
Wow.
Good God.
Awful.
But she wasn't. Was she? Yeah, it revealed she was. Her seatbelt was not fastened. Why do you take your seatbelt off? I want three seatbelts.
You bring your own from home.
I do.
You crochet seatbelts and bring them in.
Christmas Eve incident, 1998. One Disneyland cast member, two guests were injured, one fatally when a rope used to secure the sailing ship Columbia as it docked on the rivers of America tore loose. And the metal cleat to which it was attached. The cleat sailed through the air, struck the heads of two guests who were waiting to board the ship.
Oh, no.
One died.
If you want to hear more of these, Wendy does kids' parties. She'll come to your home and she'll read you these stories. You can enjoy them along with your families. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break.
Mickey, how's Minnie?
Oh, I don't want to talk about it.
You still mad at her?
Not a little bit. A little bit.
We'll take a quick break. Steve's got the news and then more show ahead. It's the Wendy Dutch. Steve, thanks a lot. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. We've got a lot to go in the last hour of the show. If you want to call us or text us, 312-981-7200 is probably the best way to do that.
Can we talk gender-neutral restrooms for a minute?
Yeah.
There are local activists that are pushing for gender-neutral bathrooms in the city. Tara Crockett feels uncomfortable entering a woman's restroom. It reminds the Oregon State University student activists who does not identify as male or female, that the world often doesn't recognize everyone. Standing in front of two gender-neutral bathrooms at the recent National LGBTQ Task Force Conference right here in Chicago, Crockett, who uses the pronouns they, them, and gendered restrooms, are unwelcoming. That's what she said, rather. It doesn't feel good. I'm reminded of the gender binary that enforces the erasure of me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. And I'm all for gender neutral restrooms. Why aren't they all gender neutral? That's what I would like to say, because then people questioning their gender can use either one. We have one down here that we both use, boys and girls.
Yeah.
Hey, boys and girls.
I think.
Is Mickey still around?
No, he was fired, actually. Very sad story, but he got fired. I think that for a lot of people it would be. No, I don't. As you know, I'm not a user of the public restroom. I'm not a believer of the public restroom.
I can wait
until I get home.
What if you have to work overtime? What if you're here like for, 12, 15 hours?
That'd be weird. Why would that happen? I can barely get through 4 hours. Why would they put me on for that long?
I'm not saying on the air, but what
just
if you had to
working
stay
on
here
something,
for something,
building something for them?
what would you build?
I don't know. I'm always building stuff. Don't you think for a lot of people that would be a deterrent, just knowing that they had to go in and use the restroom and members of the opposite sex? And that could be men that don't want to go in there because women are in there, or the other way around.
I don't think men would ever have a problem using a women's restroom.
I think
all the other way around.
All right. What if it was
a
guy?
We don't leave it like a mess with the toilet paper on the ground. And
well, that's the thing, is guys do stuff in there that is just otherworldly.
That's why you don't use them pretty much, isn't it?
That's one of the main reasons, yeah. I can't. But that wouldn't be at all a deterrent to you if you knew, if there was a bank of bathrooms. Now, our situation here is unusual because there's not a lot of space here. There's not a space for a second bathroom, so they've just put in It's a small bathroom there that men or women can use.
Well, it's a single toilet.
Right.
So just like your house, both men and women use your bathroom. Well, right. Not other men, usually, unless
That's
you have guests.
Strange when I come home and who's that guy in our bathroom? Just a passersby who wanted to use it.
But it doesn't, I mean, it doesn't bother me. What, I guess what would be weird is if there was a bank of stalls inside.
Right.
That couldn't be gender neutral, could it?
Mm-mm.
All right.
Allie McBeal that had, was, right? On Allie McBeal, that office had a gender neutral bathroom, and there was always hijinks going on.
I know, but I was intrigued by that. Because really, everybody reads that book when they're little. Everyone goes to the bathroom,
Yeah. That's not the title.
Mickey, I thought you were fired. You're
fired, Mickey.
What'd you squeeze under the door?
I don't know how
we
get in here.
Mice can really squeeze into small places.
Yes.
What would Mickey use, the boys or girls? Cheryl, do you think gender-neutral restrooms are a problem?
Yes, I would never use a gender-neutral bathroom if I had another option.
Because why?
Because men pee all over the place. It's bad enough I have to use a gender-neutral bathroom on an airplane.
Yep.
That, you know what? There
it's
is
true.
No way to use a latrine. What do they call it on the airline?
Lavatory?
Yeah, the lav. Yeah. There is no way to use, I mean, that calls for desperate measures.
Right.
Because women hover, and there's no room to hover.
Right. It's true. And there's turbulence.
Oh, I know. You hit your head on the door. Trust me.
When you're on an airplane, there's turbulence. But when guys go to the bathroom, even in a
There's
in
turbulence
a regular,
at home.
I guess there must be.
All right, Cheryl. You would not use it.
No, I would not.
All right. That's one for not wanting to use it.
No one would. I would. If you had the option, let's say you were upstairs. You know, upstairs, they've got a bank of bathrooms that are men's rooms and a bank of bathrooms that are women's. If you had your option and you could go gender neutral or women only, you would take women only.
As long as they had a full-length mirror in it, I don't
care.
That's
all you care about? All right.
I mean, really, I don't really want to spend a lot of time in there.
I can't do it.
Dan, what do you think?
Well, you know, at home, we all use the same bathroom, so what's the difference? You're still doing the same thing.
Because it's your family,
You're
I
living
guess.
With people you love and respect. At work, it's just...
Well, sometimes.
Yeah,
well,
sometimes. Yeah.
You still have to be clean. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but I mean, I've used men's bathrooms for many years at bars because a lot of times the women go in pairs. I know you guys know that, and
right.
It's really true.
Yeah.
We do. We go with a girlfriend, and then while one
I
is
use the women's bathroom,
yeah, and it's cleaner.
Yeah, but what's the difference? I mean, come on.
Because you know what the difference is
in the same.
Dan, like sometimes
I
though, when you're at a bar
I have
and
seven kids,
you have seven
and,
kids,
you know. You know.
No, what? Tell us.
He's you got to share. Is
so
what
it's
he's
always
saying.
It's always that's a busy
I
room
share,
in the house.
Sure. I mean, yeah. I make sure I clean up after myself. Or you know, it's not like I'm like peeing all over the place. I mean, I got to use it again too. So what's the difference?
Well, I'm just thinking like in public. A lot of times, if I use a man's bathroom in a bar, I can't get into the girls' bathroom if it's a single stall, I will go into the men's bathroom.
I would drive home if I were you instead of use the men's
well,
bathroom.
Well, I've learned that because sometimes, you know, women wear longer jeans where sometimes they drag.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then they're wet.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. If you guys would just be cleaner.
But guys don't have that in them. I mean, I do. I don't know how I was able. I'm really clean, but I've been in men's, and it's been a while because I don't use public restrooms. But I'll go in, and it's like, did somebody spin a guy around while he was using this bathroom? How could you have that bad an aim? Other than Jay Cutler, who's got worse aim than a guy in a public bathroom?
Very possible that Jay Cutler was here.
I think it's possible. Would explain a lot.
All right, gender neutral restrooms, and I feel for the LG. BTQ and Q, I just recently learned was questioning because
mm-hmm.
I didn't know what that was mm-hmm. for a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine the thought when you see a bank of restrooms that say men and say women, and you're standing out there going, What do I do
here? Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're trying to remedy that. I mean, they're doing their best to figure out exactly how to, you know,
the Hilton Chicago had this national LGBTQ. I don't say it as quickly as the
news anchors. You got to say it very fast.
LGBTQ task force. They had the conference there at the Hilton Chicago, so they put a gender-neutral restroom sign. It's just a makeshift sign, but they put it on their restrooms, and we just want to know what you think about it.
I have to use the same bathroom as a duck and a dog.
312-981-7200. You're a big fan of Mickey's, aren't you?
I like Mickey's work.
Okay. All right. It's Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN. Woo! Wish you were handier around the house. Learn how to tackle those DIY projects with some help from local home experts. You can do it with Weekend Workbench, Sunday mornings at 11 on WGN TV.
A lot of people weighing in on this.
Yes, and there was a the Hilton Chicago had a national LGBTQ task force going on last weekend, and they changed one of their bathrooms. They put a sign on it, a paper sign, gender neutral restroom, and I was just curious, what's the big deal? Wondering if, you know, men or women, would that bother you? Faith, we were talking about men being messy, but what's the other side of the coin?
I'm totally blind, and I went to public restrooms. Women are just as messy. Females can squat. The twin feet get wet.
Women are just as messy as guys?
Yeah, because the women, when they squat over the toilet, they sprinkle on the toilet, and I sit down, and it's wet.
Name names. Who's doing this? We want names. No, don't name names.
No, we're kidding. But, you know, women, if that's true, hover sometimes. People say, just sit down, don't hover because you get it all over the seat. You can wipe things off. You can place toilet paper there.
Sure.
I'm just not sitting where I don't know who else has sat before.
Duck and hover. Duck and hover, Wendy.
Thank you, Faith. Bathroom etiquette, I don't know what, is it a guy-girl thing? I think it is. We have got, can I just say, and Drew, you have called in. We'll talk to you in 1 second. All these texts are saying women's bathrooms are just as messy. Bill and I are
impossible.
Both. Yeah. I don't see how that could happen. What do you think?
Are you asking me?
Yeah. Do you not have an opinion on that?
What do you think, Drew?
Well, I appreciate you taking the call. I am a ex-Starbucks barista that usually closed down the store at the end of the night, which means I have cleaned a whole lot of bathrooms in my time.
Oh, you poor thing.
I'll tell you, 9 times out of 10, it is the women's bathroom that's dirtier at the end of the night.
It is?
Oh, yeah.
Well, how can that be?
Well, as the last caller alluded to, there is the hovering issue that is certainly a progressive problem, because once it's already wet, then the next person comes in and they're going to have the same issue. But
men, at least we, you know, hopefully get it in the toilet. It seems like whenever I've used a man's bathroom, the floor is soaking wet. It's like, it's not like you're even aiming into the toilet.
Right.
I wouldn't argue with that. I'll try and keep this as PG as I can.
Yeah, I know,
though.
It's hard.
There are other issues that women have that men perhaps do not. One of which is that usually if it's a parent that has a small child with them, they're going to do diaper changing in the women's restroom.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
You find dirty diapers all over the place in there.
Yeah, but don't you wrap it up like a little egg roll like I used to do, or a
like
burrito?
Like a little diaper egg roll, yeah.
You just really close it up, and don't people do that anymore?
Good people do. I'll say the same thing of feminine hygiene products, where you find those all over the place that you might not find in men's restrooms.
I got to tell you, Drew, there are some pigs that are women. I mean, now that you're saying that, I forget about that part of it, because, you know, I think to leave it as I came, you know.
That's how it should be.
Seriously.
That's how it should
be. Because someone else is going to use it after you. So, but I guess there are some people that are terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're one of the good ones, Wendy.
Thank you, Drew.
Thanks,
I clean up my bathroom mess. That makes me a good one. All right. Well, thanks for shedding some light on this. We appreciate it.
Sometimes at my health club, I'll go from where the lockers are to where the showers are, and you have to go through the area where the toilets, where the bathrooms are, and I think, did they blindfold guys before they got into this part of the bathroom? Because it's stuff that would make Stephen King give him a nightmare. You see stuff in there, and you go, somebody's responsible for this. They didn't do anything to fix this, anything at all?
That's a whole different issue, because men just walk around the locker room naked looking at their watch.
There's a lot of that.
There was a sitting on a couch. A guy just.
Did you tell me that? Yeah, at the last health club, I switched.
And it was a leather couch.
Not because of this. There was a football game on, and there's like six or seven naked guys just watching the game, sitting on the couch, just watching the game. It's like, I'm thrilled that you're comfortable with yourselves, but really, it wouldn't kill you to just. You can't just put some shorts on, some pants,
wrap
something.
Wrap a towel around you.
To let things, you know.
No, not in there.
Well, you've never been in there. Don't you tell me what to do.
Excuse me. I've been in a women's locker room that they do the same thing.
Oh, they do?
It's fine in the women's locker room. I encourage that in a women's locker room. But in the men's locker room, that's not a pretty sight.
Women's bodies are prettier naked.
No argument from anyone on the planet.
You were almost speechless.
No. Did he sputter?
Started to sputter. Smoke came out of the back of my head. I don't even know where that came from.
All right. Well, neutral restrooms, we use them here, but, you know, we can't. I can't even complain that we haven't had water in 3 weeks because of Flint, Michigan.
I know. But you've come in from this bathroom from time to time and said, who was in there last?
I know, I have.
And then the details are so too gruesome to mention. But then we have to look at the, you know, at the we have to look at the chart to see who's signed in and out of there.
What's happened to you?
I don't know.
And, you know, I am always embarrassed using the bathroom here because at my own house, I change the toilet lids to the slow closing ones. So I can just, you know, when I go to put the lid down, it slowly goes.
Yes.
When I do it in there, every time I walk in there, I go to put the lid down and it's like smack.
It slowly goes where no man has gone before, to quote the great James T. Kirk, Wendy.
James T. Kirk?
Yeah, James T. Kirk. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. Oh, in a little while.
Soon, after the news.
Right after the news, we're going to talk to a doctor. This Zika virus, it gets worse and worse and worse. What seemed like something that was just a very faraway problem, as it turns out, is not a faraway problem. It's right here in the country and possibly the city. We'll explain what you need to know about that virus next. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, be prepared, people, because Zika virus is coming. I can guarantee that. We're going to talk to virologist Dr. Robert Murphy right now, professor of medicine and biomedical engineering at Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Murphy. Last time we spoke to you was about Ebola, huh?
Right. It was Ebola virus, which is pretty much gone now.
That's under control?
Under control.
But now we have this new virus we have to worry about, brought to us by mosquitoes, the Zika virus. Where does this come from?
Well, Zika virus has been around for a while, spread by the same mosquito that spreads dengue virus. And so anywhere where dengue virus has been, Zika is going to be.
And this is D-E-N-G-U-E.
Right. People may have heard of dengue before. That's maybe they haven't, or maybe they have. But it's been in the United States. It's all over the Caribbean. It's in Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty common. And people can get it, and they can get pretty sick. And the second time they get it, a small percentage get hemorrhagic fever and can die.
Oh, no.
Dengue is not a good thing to have.
Yeah.
So Zika's in the same family.
The differences between the two are what, would you say?
Well, I would say that the Zika virus was originally thought to be less serious. 80% of people who are infected with Zika don't have any symptoms at all. They don't even know they were infected.
Mm-hmm.
And 20% get very mild. I get a couple aches and pains, like you got some viral infection.
Right.
And that's about it.
And then that dissipates very soon, and it goes away.
You don't have to do anything. And so we've basically been ignoring it. And then in Brazil, where they had really an epidemic of Zika, all of a sudden the pediatricians and OB doctors saw, you know, hey, there's just way too much microcephaly.
Yeah.
So small-headed babies.
Yeah, that's.
And, you know, it was just going up and up. And it was at the same time there was this Zika outbreak, which people were kind of just saying, so what? So the consequences for pregnant women is really serious.
But just a normal, healthy person, you get Zika virus, it's not anything we should fear.
Well, if you're not pregnant.
Right. Just a normal, healthy person who's
not pregnant.
Well,
let's just go to basics. There are no Zika virus experts. Nobody really knows that much about this. It's in a family of viruses that we do know a lot about. But no, there are no experts in Zika virus.
Because why? You would think if it's been
nobody,
around.
Nobody gets that sick. Nobody dies.
Yeah.
It's not killing half the population.
It took an epidemic in it where instead of hundreds getting infected, tens of thousands got infected, and enough of them were pregnant that we saw the outcome in pregnancy.
This is in Brazil you're referring to.
Brazil started.
So what happened there in Brazil that went from a mild problem, nothing to be alarmed by, to an epidemic? What
numbers.
Changed? Is it?
Numbers.
Well, it's just the numbers, but the numbers why game. Did the numbers increase so dramatically?
Well, it just the virus itself just became very prevalent in the society, in the country.
Yeah.
And it got big enough that if you look down the street, you look out how many people are pregnant. Not that many people are pregnant.
Right.
So you have to have a big enough epidemic to have enough of those pregnant women exposed to the virus and not everyone who's exposed has a problem. So you have to have a large enough number of them where you actually start seeing the adverse effect, which is this microcephaly.
And explain the microcephaly, because I know there are children whose heads were very small, which means the brain wasn't formed completely.
Right. Correct.
And
That's it. And a lot of them die. They die young or they're severely impaired.
You don't rebound off of that, can you?
I can't imagine. This is a structural change that's not fixable.
Yeah. Oh, terrible.
I mean, you have countries like El Salvador, for example, saying don't get pregnant for 2 years.
Really?
I mean, that's the public health policy in some of the areas now.
Well, the World Health Organization either yesterday or Wednesday, I want to say yesterday, made a statement about this explaining how there's been an explosion of this sort of thing. And is that the kind of thing that really makes people stand up and take notice when the World Health Organization says, now it's a problem?
Well, when they finally get it, yes, then you have really worldwide recognition. There's a meeting actually on Monday that WHO is convening to come up with some more concrete plans to give some direction. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily know any more than what I'm talking about right now, but there's got to be some formal direction from somebody at a very high level so that people can start putting some rational policies in place. I mean, already the airlines are ranging between pregnant women can change their tickets, no problem, we don't care, you can have your money back or whatever, to the point where anyone going to Latin America or the Caribbean now can change their ticket, we don't care. So just to going from the people at risk to going to everybody that they can change their ticket. This is going to have an enormous impact on the economies in the Western Hemisphere. And the U.S. is next. As soon as we get out of this winter,
right,
we get back to mosquitoes,
it's going to be here. So it's going to be here for sure this summer.
Of course. I'll bet on it.
An able-bodied adult who gets bitten by a mosquito and gets the Zika virus is going to feel crappy and they'll get over it. What about children? What about people with weakened immune systems? Is this going to take them down?
It hasn't hurt anybody like that before. To the human, either adult or child, they don't get that sick, and 80% don't get sick at all. But it's the fetus is at risk.
So you don't seem, unless I'm reading it wrong, you don't seem that alarmed by this. Why the World Health Organization seeming far more alarmed than you?
I'm alarmed for pregnant women.
Yeah, if I was going to be pregnant this summer and out in the yard doing gardening work like I usually do, I'd be freaking out.
I just left my office. We have at any particular time at Northwestern and all the other medical schools too, we send people all around the world, students, residents, fellows, even faculty go. Yeah. People travel a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, the U.S.-Mexican border is the most traversed frontier in the world. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people go across the border every day.
Yeah.
Until
Trump takes over, and that will change.
Until the wall goes up,
you know that. It's going to change.
They're going to be tunneled.
Hey, the mosquitoes still get over the wall.
Most of those people going across the border are crossing legally.
Yes.
There's people that live in, suburbs of Tijuana that work in San Diego.
Sure. I mean,
there's so much back and forth on the Mexican border. They've got Zika in Monterrey right now. That's 177 miles from the Texas border. How long is it going to take for it to get into Texas?
Immediately.
Yeah,
all right, what about pets? What if I have a dog, I give him heartworm medication, which helps with, I don't know if it helps with mosquitoes or not, but what about pregnant animals? Are we going to have mutated animals?
Probably not. It's probably very species specific. It's typically species specific.
You can get
we
it
don't all- know. But I mean, it's, we don't know, but we don't suspect.
That's not a fear you have.
No.
And it's transmitted only through a mosquito bite. Mosquito. It's not contagious through a blood-to-blood contact or saliva or anything.
Well, okay.
The plot thickens, Bill.
We don't know. There is one case documented where a healthcare worker actually got Zika virus. This is actually a couple years ago. It's written up in the medical literature. He returned to Colorado and infected his wife. She got Zika virus from sex.
She did.
She was not pregnant?
She wasn't pregnant. So, but it showed that the virus can be transmitted even sexually. She had never left Colorado. So, that's the story in the literature. There's a couple other cases where they've documented that the Zika virus can be in semen, which is another compartment in the body that's, you know, very different from the blood or lymph nodes or whatever. And
this is why we should not have sex with mosquitoes, doctor. And we've talked about this before.
I've been preaching that
for many years. It's not safe.
All right. We have a couple of questions from our listeners. Dr. Robert Murphy, he's a virologist. God, I learned a new word today. He studies viruses. This is really cool. And I know about this virus. And Sharon, why don't you wow Bill by telling Bill how you can pronounce this?
Uh-oh.
I'm not sure I'm saying it right. Chikungunya?
Chikungunya.
Chikungunya.
See?
Chikungunya.
Hello.
Yes.
Very good.
That's my favorite recipe. We make that on my birthday every year. What is that?
Chikungunya. Well, it's another virus.
Yeah, it's contracted the same way through a mosquito bite.
Right.
My daughter-in-law got bitten down in Puerto Rico.
Yep. Puerto Rico has Zika also.
Yeah, and literally, you know, it was like they called it bone crushing because when she came back with the fever, then her hands, her feet, I mean, she was in agony. And
so this is way different than the Zika.
Yeah.
But with the Zika, I was watching a young lady on the TV just the other night, and she was saying she had to not go into work for, I think, close to a week because she said it was excruciating to walk, and she had the other one, the Zika. Mm-hmm. So to me, they sound relatively similar. But with my daughter-in-law, she finally, it was the CDC who was able to diagnose her, because this is going back a year and a half ago. She became so incapacitated, they ended up taking her down to Mayo. And it was Mayo who worked with her. It attacked her whole immune system.
All right. Did you have a specific question or just that you're wondering if there's a connection?
Are these two, because in the newspaper it said it was the same mosquito who can carry both of these. And so my question is this one also going to come into the United States now that it's down in the Caribbean and everything and in Mexico? And I'm going to Mexico, so now I'm worried.
Well, yeah, you bring up some good points. These viruses, the dengue virus, which can also cause very severe disease in some cases, chikungunya and Zika, all carried by the same mosquito. So wherever you see any one of those, you can see any of those particular viruses.
Yeah.
The viruses are different, though. And the mildest one is, for non-pregnant people, is Zika virus so far.
It
looks like, you got some aches and pains for a week. We haven't really seen or heard a lot of people getting that sick. Now, most people are never diagnosed, right? You know, you just think you have it. You have to send your blood to the CDC to get actually diagnosed. I mean, you know. So
mail it away.
There's a lot of stuff that is just out there. We don't really know the natural history of this disease. But, you heard from now people are looking at it. So you have, a person has Zika virus. Okay, they were really sick for a week. Okay, that's true. There's always a spectrum of disease. But remember, in Zika, we think 80% have no symptoms. And so in the 20% that have symptoms, some is going to be mild for a couple of days. Take a ibuprofen or something and you're fine, or somebody's going to be laid up for a week. I got the flu. I don't know what I have. But they all get better.
So what does Sharon do? Sharon, you said you're going to Mexico. What does Sharon do to help prevent herself from getting dengue, chikungunya, or Zika?
The WHO, I think the report was today or yesterday, you were referring to it. They predict an explosion of Zika virus throughout the whole Western Hemisphere, including the United States. The only two countries that might be safe is Canada and Chile because they don't have this mosquito.
What about DEET? Is it going to work?
Oh, yeah, DEET. All that stuff works. All you have to do is avoid mosquitoes.
Okay, so that's easier said than done.
Well, easier said than done.
Yeah.
Which means you have to have a really tough public health policy for mosquito eradication.
When I was little, and I went to school with this guy, Stuart Clark, and his family had the Clark Mosquito Abatement Company, and they would drive around in the Riverside Brookfield area all the time. You know, we'd be out playing softball at night, and the spray would come. You'd see the flashing yellow lights. You'd run in for a little while, and you'd let it settle for about a half hour, and then you'd go back out and do stuff. I do not see that happening as frequently as it did when I was younger.
Well, it's toxic. You know, this is the problem.
Some of the kids in Wendy's neighborhood have stingers. That's not normal.
No, but pick your poison.
Pick your poison. Well, that's the whole thing. You got to pick your poison. I mean, Zika in pregnant women is much worse than being exposed to DEET. Okay, so you have, but there's many things more than DEET. You can do, you know, get rid of standing water.
Yeah.
If there's no standing water, there's no mosquito replication.
So dump the bird bath every night, people.
Get the bird bath, put something, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do besides just deep.
I used to have a wristwatch that would emit a tone that would make mosquitoes stay away. Do they still make
those?
They
have an app now for that. Does that work?
I don't know.
You never heard of that?
I don't know how well it works. Let's put it that way.
All right. We have to take a break. And then Julie has a question about her pregnant daughter who's doing some traveling. We're finding all we need to know about the Zika virus with virologist Dr. Robert Murphy, professor of medicine and biomedical engineering, Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine, 312-981-7200. Zika virus, you've heard about it, you're going to hear more about it, and you might be seeing it when mosquito season kicks in later on this spring and summer. Dr. Robert Murphy on with us today, virologist at Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine. And Dr. Murphy, we have someone who's calling. We can't get to all these calls. A lot of questions. This one, a pregnant daughter heading to Florida, Julie, is that what you're worried about?
Having a family reunion in March, and our daughter is pregnant, and we're seriously considering suggesting to tell her not to come, and we don't really know, and I wanted your opinion on it.
Well, it's a good question. Right now, there are no cases at all in the United States, and so Florida is a likely place to maybe get this, as is Texas and the southern border. You know, anything can happen. There are cases, de novo cases in Puerto Rico right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the Zika places. But the U.S. is clean. I mean, I think...
But aren't there some women under observation, doctor? I read somewhere that there's a couple of women that are being closely
watched.
In the
U.S.
Most of them have traveled.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. They've traveled. So, and there are cases of Zika here in the U.S., but they got it.
Overseas.
They got it in Latin America.
Julie, is your daughter driving or flying? Because isn't it a risk to be on a plane?
No.
No?
I think she was planning on flying. She'd be in her fourth month in March.
That's a good point. The fourth month is the most likely highest risk time is the first trimester. We think.
Mm.
But you know, there's a lot of unknowns. But I think if it was my daughter, and there hadn't been any cases reported, I would not interrupt my continental U.S. travel plans because of this right now. But I'd watch it every day.
Absolutely.
And then be careful while you're there. You just don't do silly things. Keep yourself covered. Use some kind of repellent that's safe for pregnancy.
And are there ways to that? There are people that get bit from mosquitoes more than others. Women typically more than men. We were talking about this off the air.
Yeah, women typically get bit more than men. But
drinkers?
I mean, if
you've had a drink, aren't you more susceptible to be bit?
Well, you're not supposed to be drinking when you're pregnant.
No, I'm not talking pregnant. I'm just talking.
Oh, just
any,
a,
you know.
General. I'm not sure of the exact science about that, but. I think, you know, you can just use some common sense. I don't think we need to be hysterical here.
Good to know.
And, you know, the country is not, the U.S. has not been listed as a country that has any Zika infection that was started from here. That, in other words, you got it from a mosquito. So come on, this is a big country.
Sure.
You know, even in Mexico, there's only two little hot spots right now.
Yeah.
And if people are careful, maybe this whole thing will just, maybe it won't blow up as bad as some people think.
And Brazil, it's bad. What about the Olympic Games and stuff?
That's an incredible question. because what is going to happen? I mean, besides the fact that they're all going to get exposed to all sorts of bacteria and viruses in the water there.
And their water there right now is in horrible, horrible shape.
I mean, it's really... It's very bad.
Yeah.
I've seen the promos for the Olympics. I can't wait to see them. And then it just dawned on me.
I mean, this is a terrible thing to happen at this time.
All right, real quickly, we can't get to all these questions, so I'm going to fly through them. Can you get it more than once, the Zika virus?
Good question. Probably no.
But again...
Well, I mean, I take that back because you can get dengue more than once. But typically, after you develop immunity to the infection, you don't get it as easily or as often. But we don't know.
A daughter went to Puerto Rico a year ago, still at risk?
No.
It would have come and gone?
Nope.
First trimester is the most, at this point, what you know, the most dangerous?
We guess, because that's when the brain and everything is developing, and it's more susceptible to insult.
Isn't the key to finding a cure to something like this figuring out why 80% of the people who are bit by a mosquito don't have any effects as opposed to the other 20%? Don't you want to isolate the differences between those two and then figure out a cure based on that?
That's a really good question. We don't know why 20% get symptoms and 80% don't.
Yeah.
We really don't. We don't know that. And this is something that we have to figure out.
Any essential oils to help you get rid of the virus?
No.
There isn't.
No.
Or to prevent it.
Well, you know, if you can put something on that mosquitoes don't like, and there's lots of products, some tested, some untested, some bogus, you know, whatever. But avoiding mosquitoes is the key.
Do viruses like this traditionally kind of burn themselves out after a while?
Well, epidemics run their course.
Yeah.
So, you know, you always see ups and downs, and it depends what the public health intervention is.
Yeah.
Like, look at Ebola. You know, we had the big peak. Everyone was predicting it was going to be this total catastrophe, but we put the right public health policies in place and treatment and isolation of the infected patients, and, you know, it's basically gone.
But if we don't do anything to combat one, if we have one on the horizon and we don't do anything, we can't figure out anything, will it burn itself out eventually or not?
Well, most likely eventually.
It would.
I mean, all these epidemics have these big up and down swings. And the idea is, can we impact that? And we can by mosquito abatement.
Frantic mom who has texted a bunch of times want to get this out, even though I think we covered it. Will the virus affect a fetus in the 8th or 9th month when they are mostly done with development? Please ask. And what about toddlers and infants? I'm due in July in the middle of the summer, and I'm really worried.
Well, I would think that, as the brain gets more and more developed, that the neurologic effect of this thing will be less and less.
Yeah.
You know, because you already got the development. I mean, you can't have a normal brain and then it just gets smaller.
Right.
That doesn't happen. So, and they haven't seen in all the Zika virus infection in children, nothing really has been reported. Again, it's very understudied.
No deaths at this point.
No. No.
See, so, I mean, don't you feel more at ease after speaking with Dr. Murphy?
Oh, absolutely. I always do. I call him if I've got a sliver of hangnail. I call Dr. Murphy, and he puts me at
ease.
Well,
I don't know anything about hangnails. You know, as a medicine guy.
Well, so not to panic. You know, we were worried we were going to be fear mongering, but there's no reason to be doing that.
No.
If you're pregnant, talk to your doctor.
It's one of these issues that really the at risk person is a pregnant woman.
A pregnant man would be something.
Pregnant man, we can really write some interesting articles about that, but. It has to be a pregnant woman. That is the risk.
And a human at this point. So seriously, I know it sounds silly, and you're going to laugh at me, Bill, but somebody who has a pregnant dog or cat, it doesn't seem to be
probably not
jumping on that species at this point.
Probably not an issue.
Not this one, anyway.
No, no.
If you ever have any medical questions and don't know where to turn, Wendy and I are here for you.
Okay,
you know that.
Good.
All right.
Now we all know
good.
About the same amount. But that's how much is known about this virus.
Thank you, Dr. Murphy. We always appreciate you being here. It's Dr. Robert Murphy, professor of medicine and biomedical engineering at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine. We'll take a quick break and then talk to Ron and Ann and find out what they have in store for you. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.